Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
Well, it's Friday. Oh, you guys probably knew that. Yeah, it's Friday. God, I had the dumbest dream.
Yes, I'm going.
Remember a really stupid dream that just is inexplicable?
Many.
We might make this the text question today. 312-981-7200. Dumbest dream you've ever had that makes no sense and there's no reason you would have had it. I wake up. And I understand that I'm kicking. I'm like kicking out my right leg. Sleeping on my stomach, I'm kicking out my right leg. And Maureen said, what are you doing? And I said, isn't it obvious? I'm trying to keep the wolves away from the wild horses.
Wait, was this a dream or?
This was a dream.
You were dreaming
I was
you said
dreaming,
that to Maureen.
I was, no. That actually happened.
Okay.
I was dreaming that I was kicking at wolves to keep them from chasing wild horses because I think we can all agree. And when you come across a wolf, the best thing you can do is kick at them.
Yep.
And yes. I have a long history of protecting wild horses. What?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
When was the last one you protected?
Last night in my dream.
In your dream.
I think the obvious question is, what did you eat before you went to bed?
Or what did you watch
an apple?
On TV?
Well, the debate.
Oh. Oh, Dances with Wolves.
No. Nope. No logical explanation. No logical explanation for it. Zero.
I think you need to get one of these dream interpreters on the show and explain it just for our entertainment.
There's something in your subconscious that made you.
Yeah, something about wolves coming at you.
Horses, wolves, something going on.
The wolves could
be. Wolves, possibly.
Did you eat red meat for dinner?
I eat red meat every day.
Oh.
No, I don't. I didn't have. I had an apple. I had an apple for dinner.
I always have weird dreams when I eat red meat.
Do you think of us as the wolves? Possibly.
And I'm kicking at you?
Right.
Yeah. We're the closest to you.
And you only ate an apple for dinner?
That's generally what I eat most nights.
Do you have any enemies?
You should see the size of my lunch. I'm sorry, do I have enemies?
Do you have any enemies that have been beaten down at your door or that coming up from behind? Or?
So many enemies. So many enemies. I got nothing. I really got nothing. I got no logical explanation for it. So there you go. Text question. It's the dumbest dream you've ever had with no explanation for it. Shorter the text, the better, obviously. Lou's coming up. Lou's first call. You can always get in by getting in line now. And you got to hold on for a few minutes, but we'll take care of that. Very funny woman, a blogger, writes about being married and a mom. Eileen Behrens should be on later. Bridget Gaynor. Lucky to have her on Friday. She'll be on later. Dave's back from Italy. Many stories about Dave in Italy. He still smells of pasta. And Congressman Mike Quigley this morning. Dean, of course, with more on entertainment. Let's do the top six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
See, that's my wolf.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
By the way, did I get a thank you note from the horses I saved? No, zero, nothing.
Of course not.
Well, they are wild. What do you expect?
Well, haven't they gone to school anywhere?
No. See, horses that are trained actually send thank you notes.
Oh, they do. Well, then they need
it's hard to hold
training.
The pen.
I suppose. So sad in the hooves when they keep dropping it. Condos in the Tribune Tower, we have a price on these now if we want to move back. So, I don't know if I could do $7 million.
No.
A one-bedroom residence in the Tribune Tower, where we lived for a lot of years, at 435 North Michigan Avenue, starts at $700,000. A four-bedroom condo at about $7 million plus. The homepage proclaims, live timelessly. An architectural masterpiece gracing the city skyline. I don't know why there's a British guy with at least a twinge of a British accent
working.
Sounds
better that way.
And a sense of permanence and beauty. now meticulously transformed, that we've gotten Cochrane and Rokan out of the building into elegantly stunning luxury residences. Find your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at an incredibly steep price.
But wouldn't it be nice if some of that money made its way back to journalism in some way or another?
Yeah, how many more adjectives can we get in there?
If you got $7 million and you just funded journalism with it right now, fairly, we could do some good with that.
Yeah, you could hire some investigative reporters. And
yeah, it's not going to happen. Anyway, $7 million gets you a nice four-bedroom in the Trib Tower.
Didn't you have a one-bedroom in the Trib Tower? I mean, your office was basically a one-bedroom, wasn't
that
it?
That is true, but what I really got in trouble for is the two-bedroom I had, which was Colonel McCormick's conference room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of trouble there.
Mm-hmm. With the couch.
Next.
Table.
Wait, is that a human doing a wolf?
Can't talk about it. I'm going to kick at him right now. You just heard Dave talking about this, or maybe you didn't. Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras named All-Star starters for the second consecutive season. Now, what's going on with the White Sox? They may have a sub, may have a reserve.
Yeah, they will name the reserves and starters on Sunday. This whole system was changed this year. And James McCann, they had this All-Star starters election, which ended yesterday. And McCann finished second to Gary Sanchez of the Yankees at catcher for the American League. He could still be added as reserve. I think there are 23 spots on the American League team for pitchers and reserves, and just about that number on the National League team.
You know, I know a lot of stupid stuff. There's a lot of stupid stuff that sticks to my brain. Mm-hmm. Basically, the size of my head, you got to put stuff in there. Look this up for me, you guys. Is there a Gary Sanchez production, like a major movie company? Gary Sanchez production? It's not this Gary Sanchez,
no.
But I just think it's funny that yeah. name stuck with me.
I had that dream.
I had a dream that I was kicking at Gary Sanchez. Next.
It's a production company. It is a production company.
Is it?
Operated by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
But why Gary Sanchez?
I don't know.
I mean, it's Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. They're both nuts. In a good way. I don't know. The House agreed to the Senate's immigration funding bill yesterday. But there was a border bill that the Senate blocked. Steve, I'm not up to date on this. Are you up to date on this story?
Well, I think the border bill was the Senate blocked the House version of the bill. Came up with their own, sent it back to the House, and that's the one that the House approved, I believe.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi didn't want it approved because she said there's not enough protection in there for to prevent Trump from spending it on a wall. Those who agreed, including a majority of, I guess it probably would have been a majority of Democrats to get it passed because of the House numbers right now. Those people that agreed said, no, there is enough protection in there. But anyway, the Democrats had a big fight over this yesterday in the House. As of now, the $4.5 billion is passed. And Trump will sign it when he gets back. Is that right?
I don't know if he's said he's going to sign it or not, but I would expect that he would since it was developed by the Republicans in the Senate.
So this would be working together against each other. This is a new system. Next.
Daddy, you better get the...
The wolves are getting angry.
And more human sounding.
Reservations for Taco Bell's hotel have sold out in 2 minutes. If you're a Taco Bell superfan looking to stay at the Mexican... By the way, Taco Bell superfan. If you're a Taco Bell superfan, you need to really get interested in other things. If you're a Taco Bell superfan looking to stay at the Mexican fast food chain's limited time hotel, you're already too late. The chain started taking reservations at 1 o'clock yesterday. That's East Coast time. About 70 rooms at the Palm Springs Hotel, and all available rooms were snatched up 2 minutes into taking reservations. Rooms started at $169 per night. That's pretty cheap compared to hotel prices now. And Palm Springs is not a cheap place to stay generally. No minimum required stay. Will open its doors August 8th and close August 12th. Well, I don't even understand it. Why is it a Taco Bell hotel? What happens for 4 days? Is there hot and cold running burritos in the room? What's happening?
And by the way, $169 a night. You're right. That's a great price. What's the temperature in Palm Springs between August 8th and August 12th?
140.
Yeah, I think.
It is a desert.
Yep.
Do we know what's going on in the Taco Bell hotel?
Well, I saw a picture of it because I was asked the same question this morning. It looks like there are bedspreads that have the Taco Bell logo on them.
What's in the minibar?
The bedspreads are made of lettuce,
tacos,
and
of course,
taco wraps.
And there are Taco Bell pictures on the wall. And it looked like there was some sort of taco garden. Aside from that, I don't know.
Is there tequila in the minibar?
Yeah, I don't think they do.
How about
that.
A cheese fountain?
I think more like a cheese fondue that you just dip tortillas in.
And a couple of aggravating stories. One's actually terribly sad. A 31-year-old woman was fatally struck by a CTA red line train in Inglewood yesterday after she dropped her phone on the tracks and thought she had time, apparently, to jump down on the tracks, get her phone, and get back up. She climbed down to get it. She was hit by an approaching northbound train and pronounced dead at the scene. It's a frickin' phone. It's just awful. It's awful. And, you know, the thing we don't talk about much, if ever, is the fact that the two or three times a year when we hear about, and Mary, correct me if I'm wrong on the number, but the two or three times we hear about people dying on tracks.
Oh, all the time.
Is it more than two or three?
At least a couple times a week, it feels
like. As soon as I see unauthorized person on the tracks, I go, oh, boy.
I had no idea. So it's a couple dozen a year?
Every day I have an unauthorized person on the tracks.
But, I mean, hit and killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
How many in a year?
I would say at least a couple a week.
2 a week, right? Dying of tracks.
Well, a lot. If there's a suicide, we don't report those. So, you know, there's stuff like that.
Well, look, the thing that's incredibly disturbing to me is the conductor now lives with that for the rest of their lives. They couldn't stop the train.
Right. They have a lot of grief counseling going on.
And Joe Biden came under heavy attack last night in the second Democratic debate, first one for him. And the A-team, if you will, the Democrats, the big moment of Biden-Kamala Harris, the thing that I'll talk about coming up here in a little bit, at 6:21. We'll come back, get Lou in just a second, and I've got to go defend some horses against some wolves.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
312-981-7200. Still room for you to come in and be the first caller for Lou Manfredini.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
I am fantastic.
Did you hear about my stupid dream?
No.
You ever have a dream that's really dumb, it makes no sense, and you have no idea why you had it? Probably.
Okay, sure.
I dreamt that I was fending off wild wolves chasing wild horses by kicking them.
Was the Rolling Stones song playing while you were doing that?
Wild, wild horses.
Yeah.
That's actually, it's funny you say that, because that's actually the most logical explanation to the stupid dream that I've heard so far.
Right, your Rolling Stone thing. Right, I could see that. You know what you need to stop doing?
Dreaming?
Well, no, like, you know, having, I don't know, did you have a snack? Did you eat something that didn't agree with you?
Nope. Got a big old apple for dinner.
Oh, that's it right there.
Oh, horses and apples.
Right, apples, new and apples.
Oh, see, now we're breaking it down. Now we're getting somewhere.
Or road apples.
Didn't taste different. Possible. Anyway, texture is starting to chime in on this, and we'll give you some of that coming up here in a little bit. Dumbest dream you've had with no reasonable explanation. Let's go to Jim in Elgin, who's got the first question for Lou Manfredini. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, you know, didn't get much sleep. I was trying to save some horses. what's happening?
I got a question with Lou, for Lou.
Yeah, what do you need from Lou?
All right, so here's the deal. It's 93 degrees. I'm going to ask a winter question.
Okay, we're ready.
I have roof vents up in my attic that when it's really windy and snowing, they take on the snow, and it falls into my attic and creates what I call duck ponds. Then the snow stays there until the attic warms up, and then it melts and it comes through my ceiling. How do I prevent that snow from coming in those vents?
The there is a filter material, like a mesh, that you can purchase that's actually designed for HVAC systems. It's, it comes in a roll, and you can cut it. You can cut it with the easiest way to describe it. It's like a Scotch-Brite pad, but it's a much looser consistency, almost like a fiberglass filter that you would put in a furnace. But it's a roll of this stuff, and the hardware store will have it if you describe it as a cuttable furnace filter, like a customizable furnace filter. Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. Go
ahead.
Do I install it from underneath, or should I go on the roof and install it into the vent itself?
You install it underneath, and you can actually permanently leave this up there because it will still vent. The air will still flow through it, and it's dense enough that the snow, it won't allow the snow to come in, and you'll cut it with a pair of scissors, you know, if it's round or whatever it is, to fit up inside there. And then you literally could keep it in place using like some silicone caulking. Once you press it in there and it's held in place, just run a bead around the perimeter of it between the filter mesh material and the aluminum of the stop, and they'll hold it in place and you'll be done.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
I got it.
Is that good? You got it?
Are you kidding? It's been a problem for 2 years. I've been waiting to get through to Lou's first call.
Buddy, see? There you go. All right, man, hold on. And he is going to get himself a desktop indoor weather station from AmericanWeatherMakers.com. All right, it's summer, finally. I don't know if you got the memo, Lou. It's finally summer.
Finally.
What do we need to do? What do we not put off anymore? Give us a list.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is there's a bunch of alternatives now when it comes to controlling weeds. And I'm talking about weeds that are coming up through the sidewalks or places you don't want weeds. You know,
through my mulch, Lou. Through my mulch.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Ugh, nasty.
Mary, there's a lot of people that are getting weeds through their mulch because it's so wet. We've had so much rain, and that's a problem. There is a new milder material by a company called Green Gobbler. They actually make drain openers under that brand, but it's a 20% vinegar solution that you can use for weed control. And it's it's not organic, but it's a much milder chemical makeup than what's going on with a lot of people with the stories about Roundup and that chemical that's used for weed control. So you can use this product, and it really, really works well. And it's a what they call a non-selective weed killer, meaning that if you sprayed it on the grass, it'll kill the grass. But you can put it over on top of the mulch, Mary, if it's near mature trees or established plants. Just don't overdo it. Just a little bit right over the top of it. Within a couple days, it'll control the weeds. And that's the biggest issue I'm hearing from a lot of people is weeds everywhere because we've had so much rain.
What about next to my new bushes that I just planted? No? Don't put it there?
I mean, if you were careful just over the top real close, you could probably get away with it.
Okay. Thanks, Lou.
Look how you blended that from a caller into the Mary problem. Huh? See what you did there?
I did.
I'm going to get some Green Gobbler.
Green Gobbler.
You're a big fan of the Green Gobbler.
I am. I mean, well, what I'm a fan of is that we're coming out with a lot more products now that I'm seeing. You know, one of the nice things about being a retailer is you do get a chance to see things prior to, you know, the average populace seeing the things, and then you kind of gauge whether it's going to work or not. And this weed control issue and even the whole push towards organics when it comes to fertilizing is huge. I get young couples coming into our stores all the time, and I know other stores as well, where they're like, you know, I want to feed my lawn, I want to control the bugs, but I want no harsh chemicals because, you know, I have children or I have pets that I'm worried about. And there's been a fundamental shift in what I'm hearing from people. And these companies that are these chemical-based companies do need to respond to that, and they are.
The standing water issue we've had from all the rain and stuff, you warned us to throw these hockey puck things into this...
Mosquito dunks
into these little pondish sort of areas. What are we seeing? Are we seeing a lot of mosquitoes, or is it too early for that?
It's not too early, and I think that this weekend will be a telltale sign for a lot of people that with the heat coming out. The one thing that is going to be a big issue with mosquitoes and bugs is there's going to be a lot of bugs coming out that are going to be eating up your plants, and so spraying those with That product 7 that I've talked about, that I've recommended to Dave. There's another product called 8, which is one better than 7. And then there's another
one called a math major.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, which is an organic material that I really like, in particular for people that have bugs eating their hostas. This is the best stuff. And another thing is there's a bunch of these shakes you can use now on your lawn. If you're going to be doing any kind of entertaining over the 4th of July, there's a bunch of these mosquito shakes and sprays that you can put on the end of your garden hose. I know it sounds crazy to introduce more moisture, but if you just give it a quick spray, a lot of it has permethrin and even garlic in it, which initially you may want some garlic bread, but after that, it's good for a couple days, and it really does keep the mosquitoes at bay.
And what's it called?
Mosquito beater.
And you just need a perimeter around your patio or deck?
No, you spray the entire, like, lawn.
Okay.
And you just don't soak it, but just get it nice and wet, stay off of it for a couple hours, and then it sits in there and it just permeates this odor that you initially you'll smell it, but then it goes away.
And it's too late for the dunks?
No. Mm-hmm. Any standing water, Steve, we could still do that.
Okay. All right, so every week, and Dave's back from Italy. It's nice that you took the time to say hi to him, Lou.
Hi, Dave.
Lou.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
But each week you give us your favorite item at the local Ace Hardware. What's your favorite item this week?
With the 4th of July coming up, one of the things that we have that I really like are these solar-powered lanterns that are collapsible. Essentially, it looks like the base of it looks like an opaque egg.
Okay.
And then at the top, it has a little black top that screws on like the top of a mason jar. It's solar powered, and you can turn it on, and then it illuminates. So you can place it on tables. You can place it on your fire table outside or a little bistro, whatever, just to give you some illumination, more of an accent light. And it even has a little handle on the top that if you wanted to hang it.
Sounds very romantic.
$12.99. Really cute item and very festive. And if you wanted to, they have different settings for like a dim setting, a medium setting, a bright setting, even a flashing setting to drive you crazy. I don't know why they did the flashing, but
do any of them play Luther Vandross or Teddy Pendergrass music?
I was listening to Teddy Pendergrass yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Were you kicking at wolves while you were trying to protect wild horses?
I was not. No, I was not. But now I'm sure I'm going to have a nightmare like yours.
Was it really a nightmare? That's the thing. Felt pretty good about myself till I woke up and realized it was all nonsense. Last question. Ants crazy this summer, says one of our texters. Any suggestions?
Crazy. You need to do two things. You need to do a shake around the perimeter of the home. Taro, Bonide, both make really good products. And then ant bait stations on the inside. I give this advice all the time. When you do the bait stations initially, you will see more ants, which will freak you out. But after a couple days, they take the food back to the colony. Ant problem solved. But then that shake thing on the outside, keep doing that like every 3 weeks or so.
There you go. Lou Manfredini, getting it done.
Ciao.
You're on TV?
I am on TV.
Well, go do it, my friend.
Bye, guys.
Have a good weekend.
Ciao.
It's Lou. And Dave's wild Italian vacation coming up. Headlines next to 720 WGN.
Senator Harris. You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kamala Harris had a good night last night. She also pulled the rug out from under Joe Biden a little bit, and it wasn't entirely fair, but Biden has to be better than he was last night once people start paying attention to these things. More about that later. A couple of texters before we get to Dave's Italian vacation. 815 had a dream. I went to Rokan's house to see his daughter. We were, quote, studying. He had a nice place right in the city with a 20-acre woodland park on his estate. He said it was lovely but a little weird. 708 had a dream. I had a big hole in my leg. Inside, it looked like the Milky Way galaxy, and it was a portal for me to talk to my deceased brother and aunt. Wow.
It's kind of
different.
Cool.
219, I had a dream where my coworkers and I went to lunch at a restaurant that was a Chinese buffet Taco Bell combo. Well, you see those all the time.
Sure.
During that time, we found out it was run by a Russian mobster. And then a coworker told us she was pregnant. She said she wasn't sure if it was the Russian mobsters or her boyfriend's baby. These are much more interesting than me defending wild horses from wolves. 630, I dreamt after 9 long months of pregnancy, I finally gave birth to 2 mice in a cookbook. And 269, I had a dream I was kicking wild horses to protect the wolves, and I was also made out of cheese. A real funny. Actually, it is.
You ever had that dream where, hey, this is mine, right? I felt like all my teeth have broken in my mouth.
You know, it's funny. People talk about that all the time. I've never had the broken teeth dream. I've had the falling dream.
Yeah.
I've had the I'm naked in public dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a dream? I've had the I can't find the last class I need to graduate dream. I've had the I don't know how to work anything on the radio
dream. The radio
dream,
nightmare dreams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are very typical.
But I've never had the crushed teeth dream.
Mm. You grind your teeth?
I don't. Yeah. No.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think I do, but I've woken up like relieved that all my teeth are still intact.
That's weird.
Texter said, I had a dream I got to ride shotgun in the Batmobile. Sweet.
That'd be cool.
Favorite city in Italy?
A favorite it was an area, Cinque Terre, which means, I believe, five lands. And it's literally, I mean, it's five towns that are built into the sides of these mountains that overlook the sea.
Wow.
And they're very tough to reach except by boat or by train or
to consider a wild horse.
A wild horse would do it too. Uh-huh. But they're beautiful. And I've got some pictures.
Beautiful from the bottom looking up at them?
Looking up from the water. We took a boat and looking up at them.
And then you take the boat and then you hike up from wherever you
want. You get off at the dock and walk around the town.
Wow.
And I loved Rome, Florence. Ended the trip in Lake Como, hanging out with...
Talked to Clooney.
I saw the Clooney Villa.
Did you see the twins?
I didn't see the twins, and the Obamas had just left when we got to town.
They actually were there, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a great trip.
Now, when you were in Rome, have they fixed up the Colosseum, or are they still letting it go?
No, I think they're still working on the renovations.
Yeah.
They're actually doing a lot of work on it. I mean, seriously.
It's literally falling down.
It is literally falling down, but it is,
Did you stand in Trevi Fountain and get kicked out?
I leaned over Trevi Fountain. I did not stand in it. It was so crowded, and you have to wait, like, almost to get a good picture of Trevi Fountain, you have to wait in shifts. You know, a couple
really?
Of people come back. So, well, I mean,
I've never been to Rome, so this
is
all
it's
new.
Not. I mean, it's not a formal line. It's just there are so many
it's a mob.
People are just 3, 4, 5 deep around the fountain, and you can't get a good look at.
Are the drivers there as bad as we hear?
Here's what's interesting about the drivers there. The people drive crazy. They drive smaller vehicles for the most part. And they are these curving, winding roads, a lot of hills.
In the middle of the city?
In the city, too. But what's interesting is I noticed they are more courteous than drivers here. Even though they're driving really fast and it's really scary, they also will let you into their lane. Or they will, if you're trying to make a left turn and there's a lot of traffic, they'll slow down and let you go.
But you wouldn't know, because they don't speak that much Italian, whether they were calling you a mother effer or not.
No,
would you?
You really can't tell. And the tone tends to be the same, I think.
What other cities did you visit?
Visited, as I mentioned, Florence. Went to the Italian Riviera. Stayed in a town or just outside of town, Rapallo. And that was where we overnighted before going to Cinque Terre, but went to Portofino, which is on the Italian Riviera.
Portofino, well, that must have been good for you because they make a lot of booze there.
Listen, I was going to say, what kind of liquor did you consume?
They make a lot of wine everywhere in Italy, and they drink a lot of wine, and every meal there's wine served.
Breakfast?
Well, maybe not breakfast, but actually, there was at our breakfast, there was a bottle of Prosecco,
so you could make
mimosas.
My daughter spent, I think, a couple of months in Italy when she was in school. And she said churches and statues. Statues and churches and statues. Same?
Yes. We saw, went to the Vatican, saw the Sistine Chapel, saw Michelangelo's David. So we mentioned, saw Trevi Fountain.
Did you go to the Pantheon?
Went to the Pantheon, went to the town of Assisi. Home of St. Francis, saw the Basilica there. I mean, it's just magnificent, the detail and the ornate structures that these towns have. These small towns.
Right.
It's really a remarkable place. I had never been. My wife had been there. I'd go back in a heartbeat. I loved it.
And how were the listeners?
Our listeners were great. We had 47, I believe, in our group. And we had this tour guide from just south of Rome who's led a couple other Steve Bertrand travel tours in
the past.
Valeria. She was wonderful. And it was great. It was great. I go back. We didn't get to Venice. I still someday hope to see that. The Amalfi Coast. There's still a lot to see there.
A lot to see in Italy.
But we covered a lot of ground.
And did you have any kale?
There was no kale to be found.
Oh,
couldn't
coming
find
up.
Any kale anywhere.
Coming up, what did Dave eat in Italy?
Yes.
And
I have gifts.
And you have gifts.
Yes.
All coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coming up, Dave bought souvenirs. That's right, Dave bought souvenirs. Coming up. I don't want to, shortchange this. The gifts for the staff. I'm sure you spent thousands.
At least. I went for cheap and tacky, but I couldn't really find much cheap and tacky over there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Congressman Quigley coming up in a little bit as well. Stupid dreams you have no explanation for. 847. I often dreamt that I've been losing my teeth, much like Dave. 708 says, Dave, teeth dreams are related to your identity. It makes sense because teeth are unique to each person. So your identity is crumbling?
Or stolen?
224, I used to have a recurring dream that I was a waiter, was cleaning up after the day was done. Problem was, there was one table with an entire family that never got their food, and they were mad. I'd wake up in a cold sweat. 224, I dreamt I was in a submarine going under the Arctic ice, and we were running out of air. I reached down, found a doorknob. I turned it. The door opened to my bedroom. It was morning. I had gone into my closet in my sleep and shut the door behind me.
Wow.
I like how the closet turned into a submarine.
Yeah, so it's a dream, but it turns out he or she was in the closet.
In the closet. 847, I once had a dream there was an alligator in our backyard. This was in the northwest suburbs, by the way. I bravely pushed my husband out of the way to save him. Unfortunately, in fact, I'd pushed him out of bed. That was 20 years ago, and he still gives me grief about it. This all started, by the way, if you just turned your radio on in the last few minutes. This all started because I had a dream that I was trying to save a bunch of wild horses who were being chased by wolves, and I was saving them by kicking at the wolves. Hey, you wolves, get out of here. Scoot. Go on, wolves. That's right. When you don't know what to do when a wolf is attacking, kick at them.
Yep.
It is 6:58. We'll come back, get your news in just a second. After the news, Congressman Quigley, MVPP, Bridget Gaynor, and a blogger named Eileen, who writes about her family, all coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Anytime a politician feels the urge to be funny, they need to lay down until the urge passes. Close your eyes, put a cold compress on your forehead. Doesn't work in the debates, doesn't work anywhere. It certainly doesn't work when the President of the United States jokes with Vladimir Putin about election security. There's some money being talked about in Congress for Illinois is the first state to get whacked by Russia. I think most people know that. And Congressman Mike Quigley joins me now to talk about potential money in a bill. He's going to chair the FSGG, that's the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Bill, negotiations and arguments and discussions and all of that, starting as soon as today, I believe. Good morning, Mr. Quigley.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. And the 600 what in election security? Is that 600 million?
$600 million for election security, specifically targeted so states like Illinois can buy new equipment. They can buy cyber protection equipment, software, and they can get training. This would add to the $380 million that I was the sponsor of in 2018. But I do want to put this into some sort of context. The last time the integrity of our elections was put in question, you remember Bush-Gore, that horrible phrase, sure. Hanging Chad?
Yeah.
we so hated the fact that the Supreme Court had to decide who won the election that we invested in the infrastructure of that democratic process, and it was $3.5 billion. Most of that equipment is really old. It's the equivalent of having a Tandy computer sitting on your desktop.
Right.
The new anti-hacking software, which could prevent the Russians or anyone else from hacking into our election process, isn't going to work. And there are 10,000 entities that are involved in running a federal election. 3 years ago, I started getting briefed on this as a member of the Intelligence Committee. Mm-hmm. We started being told that there were early indications that a foreign influence was attempting to hack into computers or software at the state and local level. And it was just, what? And they said, well, it's hard to imagine they could hack into all 10,000. Frankly, we now know they can and tried. They attempted to hack into every state and territory's board of elections. And as you said, Illinois was the first state they succeeded in doing just that.
So how much of this money do we get?
It's proportional by state per capita. Last time when we did $380 million, Illinois got around $12 million. So I'd like to think we're close to doubling that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, 40 states' equipment is so old it can't handle the software. 13 states don't even have a paper backdrop, so that there's no way of telling if you've been hacked. And again, this doesn't have to be the Russians. It can be a malicious hacker.
How much of this, Mike, how much of this is we don't have the money to fix it versus local election authorities in these states want to protect their own turf and power and they don't want it fixed?
Well, I think they want it fixed. There's this push-me-pull-you sort of. They hear the president of the United States say it's a hoax, that this doesn't really happen. You saw him laughing with President Putin.
Yeah, it's just outrageous. I mean, look, that's not only is it not funny, it's stupid and dangerous.
Well, his own people are telling him otherwise. The director of national intelligence, Mr. Coates, he's not a liberal guy. He was a senator from Indiana. He is telling us that. His expression was, when it comes to this threat, the lights are flashing red, right. And that they attempted to in the midterms, but we know they're planning to do it in a much more dramatic fashion in 20. Now, understand what they're trying to do. Hacking in is a major victory, but what they really want to do is challenge the integrity of the democratic process. Their goal is to attack liberal democratic processes of the West. Much of this started when, of all people, Hillary Clinton questioned the integrity of the election process, whether President Putin was elected in a true democratic process. He took offense. And believe it or not, that's one of the reasons this all started.
Oh, yeah. He holds a grudge. And the fact of the matter is, if not for Vladimir Putin and if not for the actions of James Comey, and all the Facebook fakery that's gone on and people spreading it around, Donald Trump would not have been elected. It's not an arguable point. The facts add up. You can stop reading wherever you want, but those facts are legitimate. Having said that, we live where we live, and we live now in the moment, and in the moment, we need to fix this. Is there cooperation beyond the money?
Well, so far, not so much. We didn't pass any money last year. It failed on partisan lines. There was no opposition in the House to this matter this year, so the law I introduced, I was the floor leader, it passed the House this week. So that money is on its way if the Senate acts and the president signs. But remember where we are. We're in a world where they still haven't raised the debt ceiling. They haven't raised the spending caps. And there's no deal to actually fund the government. So at this point, putting election security aside, there's no plan in place to avoid a government shutdown or market collapse if we were not raising the debt ceiling issues. So everything is incumbent upon that. I'd like to think that deal will get done soon, that the Senate will pass their spending bills, and we can do all the things that we need to do to keep America safe, from the Department of Defense to the FBI, so many other things, as well as election security.
This argument also has gotten upside down as well. It used to be the Republicans that would vehemently argue against the debt ceiling argument because they would say the Democrats are spending too much money. The Republicans are now spending like drunken sailors, and yet they're still arguing the debt ceiling issue because the debt ceiling, remember, kids, this is to pay for things we already owe.
The person who spoke most eloquently about raising the debt ceiling when you needed to was President Ronald Reagan. He said, once you've incurred a debt, you have a responsibility, and the damage to our markets and world markets, you know, it would be like your family or anyone's family saying, well, we're not going to pay our bills because we want to be fiscally responsible.
Right.
You've incurred those debts. You have a mortgage. You have a car payment. You have student loans. You have to pay them. And if you don't, not just your credit rating will affect. If everyone does that, the markets collapse. But if the United States of America and the world's basing on our currency in so many respects decides to selectively pay its bills, all hell's going to break loose.
You expect Mueller to say anything when he testifies in open to the Congress?
Yeah, I want to tamp down expectations. It is clear, as we saw in these negotiations, to have him speak, and he'll be before my committee in 2 weeks. It is clear he doesn't want to do this. This is a modest man. It is a man who follows the rule. He would very much like us just to look at the report and say, that's it. And I have the greatest respect for the special counsel, but he doesn't get to make that decision. And as much as I don't want this to be a sideshow, there are really important questions left to be answered, because this is a long report, 400 pages. It is seriously redacted. But beyond that, anybody who's read a legal brief knows that the justices still ask questions. There are questions of interpretations. There are things that seem somewhat inconsistent in the report. And perhaps, certainly most important, is what happened to the counterintelligence investigation. That's how this all began. Was the President of the United States compromised? We know that there were components of the investigation toward that end. There were FBI agents working on this. What did they glean? Does that investigation continue? Where's that information? And where do we go from here? So there's a lot of questions. And how was the United States put at risk because of this compromise? This is a person who's uniquely situated to answer those questions. On the other hand, you will witness from my friends on the other side an onslaught like you've never seen before, questioning his integrity. I may disagree with him, but I'll tell you this. There's very few people with more integrity than Mr. Mueller.
Listen, I don't like the way Mueller even handled this, but there's no way you can question his courage, his integrity, and his government service, and it's outrageous when people do. When he sits there and he says, could not go forward with any charges against the president because he's the president and a policy that exists in the Department of Justice, and I work for the Department of Justice, so therefore it's up to you, Congress. How much longer can Nancy Pelosi say, well, we're not there yet, because the good portion of the public is? And by the way, it's not up to how people feel. It's a congressional job to create to conduct oversight of the executive branch.
I think that's what moved the needle for me, and as important as all that is the fact that it's a much more convincing argument to get the documentation that we need. If there's an inquiry of impeachment in place, you're much more likely to get the information that's missing if the courts are seeing that sort of legal argument. We'll see how it moves the needle with the rest of my colleagues and the Speaker of the House. But in the meantime, I do think the July 17th testimony by the special counsel will be, if anything, must-see TV.
It is the most important piece of the voting process that it be secure. It really is. You got to get up and go vote, but it has to be secure. Talking to Congressman Mike Quigley, chair of the Financial Services and the FSGG, the General Government Appropriations committee. And, Mr. Chairman, thanks for being on.
Glad to be here. Go Cubs, go Hawks. Ready for the new season.
There you go. Blackhawks coming. Convention coming.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Vino Pelicano. Hey, did you bring this guy back from Italy?
I didn't, but it sounds like I should have.
Good morning, Mr. Pelicano.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm doing fine. You're the director of something called The Search for Aliveness, a documentary series about how to live a life of passion and discover your true self. Is this your true self leading this group?
Yeah. I try every day.
How'd you figure it out, Vito? How'd you figure this out?
Oh, gosh. It's a long story.
Well, let's go with a shorter story then. What do we do to figure out our own selves?
To figure out our own selves. Oh, wow. Really focus on yourself. Well, that's what we're going out to explore. At Tug Hill, we have a special department called Awaken You that really helps our employees and stuff like that build themselves, focus on themselves, take time for yourself to really get yourself to the best that you could be. And what they did is they found five key categories that they feel encompass aliveness, present engaged, connection, purpose, energy, sachet, which stands for the full realm of emotions, all this stuff. So with all these different pieces, we're going out and exploring in the documentary. If there's any new pieces that could come in or really finding these ingredients that people could try, our viewers could try to live their life most fulfilled.
So you're currently doing casting for this and roles for this documentary. How many people are you looking for?
Right now we're pretty much done. We got a few more roles that we're on, so we're looking for an older gentleman or woman that we can talk to reflect on their life. We're looking for thought leaders in space, like mental meditation, stuff like that. We're hopefully going to plan on getting out to Japan in September to talk to a craftsman and a Buddhist. We were just in Africa. We went to Mexico. So we're traveling around trying to get perspectives from all different types of people.
Again, looking for people from different cultures, beliefs, classes, lifestyles, and values. One of the descriptions is for a high-profile public figure. Did you find that person?
No, that one, one of our hardest ones.
Bridget?
High-profile
public figure?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, and you've had a very interesting life, and you're having a very interesting life. Just saying, Vito. You're also looking for an outdoor adrenaline junkie. Well, clearly that's me, Mr. X Games.
We got him.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, then I'll wait. Yeah.
You can be the understudy.
I could, actually.
You could be the stunt man for the extreme sports guy.
You wouldn't believe how crazy it gets on the golf course sometimes.
You don't even take a cart half the time.
Or I park it farther away than I need to. The search for aliveness.com. The search for aliveness, A-L-I-V-E-N-E-S-S. Listen, anything you're doing to help people figure out how to live the life as fully as they can, I mean, I salute it. So congratulations. Vito, I got big news. You're the most valuable person on the planet.
Wow. That's why I was so nervous when I saw that I'm coming on to this. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Man, no pressure. No pressure. Stay off the road for 10 minutes and figure this out. Thanks. Traveling all over the world, meeting interesting people. That sounds like a pretty good gig to me.
Sounds like a really good gig. I mean, this is the best gig, clearly.
Hanging out with me?
Absolutely.
Please. It's a great Bridget Gaynor, and Dave's back from Italy. Life's all good here in the booth.
Yeah, but I forgot to get Bridget a gift.
That's all right. I'll give her $20. She'll be happy.
Okay.
So, I had this ridiculous dream, and we get the text question
appropriate
of the day.
For the radio.
Actually, yeah, it kind of is because it's so stupid. This dream in the middle of the night where I'm kicking, and Maureen said, "What are you doing?" And I sat up and I said, "Isn't it obvious? I'm trying to keep the wolves away from the wild horses." I don't have any wolf experience. I don't have any wild horse experience. And yet I thought the best way to keep wolves from wild horses. And by the way, do wolves even attack wild horses? Seems like wolves are more of a mountainous situation. Wild horses are on the plains. But anyway, I was kicking at wolves. That's how you keep wolves away, in case you're wondering. I was kicking at wolves to keep them from the wild horses. I have no idea why.
Did you ever see the movie Parent Trap? The old one with Haley Mills.
Yeah.
Where the woman's going to marry their dad and they don't like her. And so they tell her the best way to keep bears away is to knock two sticks together.
Yeah, there you go.
So she's out in the wild knocking two sticks. Yeah. You two could make quite a combination.
Yeah, there
bears
you go.
And wolves taken care of.
I've just looked for my new internet series, How to Keep Wolves Away from Wild Horses, where I show you the special kick that I do.
By the way, I do think that wolves pose a threat to wild horses.
Oh, they do?
Yes. I mean,
so you're telling me I'm doing good.
I think you're on the right track.
You ever had a dream like that? A completely stupid dream that you remember?
I've had tons of stupid dreams. None of them involve wolves or wild horses.
Those are the ones we can't talk about on air. Okay, I get it. 7:33, we'll come back. You got a blogger friend that you told me about who writes about her family, and I want to know more from this woman. Eileen Behrens?
Yep.
All right, she's coming in here in a couple minutes as well. Headlines first, we'll get to that next on 720 WGN.
No!
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Bridget Gaynor's here, and Bridget told me about a friend of hers, and I said, I got to meet this woman. Eileen O'Connor Behrens. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
Tell me about this blog that you write.
You know, just about my life.
It's called No Wire Hangers Ever.
Yes.
Why?
Okay. It's not about abortion. A lot of people ask me that all the time.
Right. No, I get
that. Abortion blog, that would be super fun.
That's what I 100%
want to talk about that
hilarious.
At this hour in the morning.
Right?
I said that would be funny, too, but this is the opposite of abortion. This is about life, my life, and just what goes on.
Your husband, your family, your extended family, your kids.
Yes.
So the No Wire Hangers reference that you just heard was from a movie called Mommy Dearest.
Yes.
All right. So Mommy Dearest was whose favorite movie?
Well, mine. I don't know if it was my mom's favorite movie, but I remember watching it with her.
Okay, so you thought it would be funny one day as a kid. How old are you at this point?
I'm guessing like 7 or 8 or something.
7 or 8 years old. You bumped your head or something. You had a black eye.
Yes.
So you're out in public, and what happened?
She took me shopping downtown, and we had just seen this. We had just watched that movie together, and we went shopping.
No, hold on a second. You're 7 years old. You're watching Mommy Dearest together?
And I just showed it to my kids, too. For the first time.
Well, how old are your kids?
They're 8, 9, 10, and 11.
All right. Well,
so
listen,
I waited till they were a lot older.
That's how you learn.
And that girl that played the daughter in that movie, she is like the worst actress in that movie. That's
movie
what makes
is
it
just
so good.
Amazing. I actually showed it to my husband on Mother's Day a couple years ago. He had never seen it.
Mother's Day, Mommy Dearest.
My mom is dead. That's how I do Mother's Day. You know, I watch Mommy Dearest because
it reminds you of the old days.
That was like our thing.
So, all right, so Mommy Dearest the movie.
Yes.
You got a black eye.
Okay.
You're 7 years old.
Yes.
You're walking where?
I think we're in Neiman Marcus, maybe. And I just kept calling her Mommy Dearest. I kept referring to her as Mommy Dearest. Because we had just watched the movie, but I had a black eye. So
wrong. Yeah. Was she trying to get you to stop?
Yes.
Now you stop that.
Yeah, but I did not.
And that made you do it more?
Yeah.
And of course it did.
Now I have kids, so I understand.
All right. Now, you also write about someone in your life named Aunt Batsy.
Yes.
I assume Batsy is not her name.
It's not her name. No, okay. You would never be able to guess it.
Is she social media savvy?
No. She's not even really cellular phone savvy. She is listening right now, though, I think, on the radio. She knows how to do that.
Okay.
But
hi,
she
Auntie.
Does. People do call her to tell her what they have seen.
Okay.
Or what they have read. So that's kind of how she gets her information.
So when your mom passed, that's her sister?
No, it's actually my dad's sister.
Your dad's sister.
Yeah.
Okay, but you wrote about this. I saw one of the pieces you wrote. You wrote about going dress shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell people what happened.
Okay, so my Aunt Patsy went, or Batsy,
right.
When we went dress shopping, when my grandma died, she wanted to get her a new dress to wear in the casket, you know, for eternity.
Sure.
And, of course, we wanted her to look good, so she took me and my other cousins, Susie and Kelly. We all went shopping. We were in our early 20s.
Didn't know what you were shopping
for,
though.
We did not know. She would buy us dresses and stuff, so we were like, sure, we'll go shopping. And she's like, all right, here, we're getting Grandma's dress. And we were like, what? And she's like, okay, yeah, who's going to try it on? And we were like, no. So, like, me and Susie take, like, 2 steps back, but don't worry, Kel was there. She just stood there loud and proud. And
this is your other sister?
Cousin, yes.
Oh, cousin, okay.
And she went in, tried it on, and she was nice enough to come out and lay down in it to let us know exactly how it was going to look.
In the store?
Yes.
Nice.
But Aunt Patsy did not want the people to know why we were there. So we couldn't, like, why we
Well, that's just, a proper thing,
yeah,
right?
Of course. Yes,
but the laying down part, you got to see what it looks like when
of
she's
course.
Laying down.
How are we going to know?
Did you like arrange it and put like her, you know, did everyone?
It was, she lay down, just she looked just like her.
Like and, holding her hands in
yes,
front?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes. And then
like, did you bring a rosary and put the rosary and then, around
you know,
the hands?
Or the bracelet with all the kids' names on it, you put yours first.
At some point, the salesperson's going to come over and go, can I help you, ladies? I'm sure what's happening here.
I think they were afraid.
You can't try on a dress. Like, they don't like you taking pictures of the wedding dress and all that stuff while you're trying it on because they worried like you're going to copy it or something. But I don't think they've thought about taking pictures of the funeral dress.
They really should.
How is this not a market for people?
Yeah, it is.
People die every day. How is this not a thing for people?
This happened, though, back in, I don't know, maybe 1999, I think. So,
all right, tell me about your kids.
You know, they're amazing. They're probably still sleeping.
Not big talk radio fans, so we can talk about it behind your back.
No, they asked how they could listen to this. They didn't even know. Because I don't even have like a radio. I'm like, you know, we were up at our uncle's
cottage.
Do you
have an
cottage.
Alexa?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, I'm that's like, your radio.
You could ask her anything.
Yeah, that's the radio. Yeah. So, boys and girls?
Yeah, two boys and two girls.
And ages?
8, 9, 10, 11.
8, 9, 10. Well, there were certainly four busy years for you.
Yes, there were. Yes, I like to do things, get them done, and move on.
You finally told your husband, leave me alone for 15 minutes. We have enough kids.
Actually, he told me. So, whatever.
Girls oldest, boys oldest.
I have a boy, a girl, a boy.
Okay. So tell me about the boys.
My oldest son is an amazing baseball player and funny.
He's your favorite.
He's sometimes. I mean, they ask me that all the time. I say it changes from like minute to minute.
Yep.
Yeah, I might like you. I might not like you.
And then the other boy is the youngest?
Yes.
And so he's your baby.
He's my baby and he is my baby. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you protect him?
Oh, yeah. And the other kids do, too.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
So, good kid.
It's nice. Yeah.
Are the girls at an age yet where they're driving you crazy?
Yes. And for completely different reasons. They're 9 and 10. The 10-year-old, you know, with the phone and social media and stuff, I don't even know what to do. My head's going to explode. And she's 10.
She knows how to post better than the anthems.
Oh, she totally does. Which is great for me because she could help me with my things that I don't know how to do.
Sure. Okay.
But, I mean, I'm lost.
And what about her sister?
Well, she's a real tomboy, so totally different. Doesn't care about electronics, out playing.
Well, it seems like
around.
You got four completely different children in the same house.
Oh, they are so different. It's so insane.
Isn't that amazing? Were you?
They look different.
Were the Gaynor girls like that? Were you guys all different?
You know, you're different under the scope of kind of being the same. But yeah, my sisters and I are really different. And it's always a funny thing. It's nice to come from a big family because you see how people grow up in the same house. But you also don't totally grow up in the same house because I was the oldest.
Yeah, right.
Sheila's 14 years younger than me. So by the time, you know, with my dad, I wouldn't argue with him into my 30s. Like, I didn't even think of disagreeing with him. And, you know, I'd come home from, I was already out working and Sheila was a teenager. And
she's giving it to your dad.
She'd be like being full on arguments, yelling at him about feminism,
and, like, you could do that.
And like, you know, for like 2 years when they said Grace at meals, they had to say in the name of the, what was it, like the creator, the sustainer, and the giver.
Oh,
because they weren't allowed to use patriarchal language in the house. And I was
my
like,
dad did not go for
have
that
you
one.
Gone insane? Like, what has happened?
Right,
in the
what happened
time
to this family?
Here? So it does change a lot.
Oh, as I go down,
but you got it. That's a good thing to know because then they have room to be different, and it's a relief.
Yeah,
but I mean, in the case of you, you got 4 years. I mean, 4 years is not 14.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
She's still got time though,
right?
Because there's a 10-year-old. You could come and
you could change it out.
Yeah, right.
But
mix it up a little bit.
Do you have to be four different moms to four different kids?
Yes. Definitely. You have to handle them four different ways. I'm just good at it, though. You know, it just comes naturally to me. So it's really easy. They're sleeping. They don't even know I'm not home. So, yeah,
right.
I really have a handle on it.
And you said the kids, obviously, they get social media. They're little kids. They get all that. It's just part of their bloodstream.
Yeah.
But to bring it back to Betsy, not so much. What did she ask you to post to?
eBay. Now, she'll tell me a big secret. I'll walk in, and she'll be like, now, come here to me. Sit down. I got to tell you something. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, what is it? Now, don't tell anyone. I'm like, I won't. I won't tell anyone. And then she tells me some story about someone I don't even know, and nobody would care. And then she's like, now, tell me. Don't you go posting this on that eBay. You have my word. I will never post anything you say on eBay. Ever.
All right. You have never done it?
Never.
You're not posting to eBay currently?
I am not. I don't even know how to use eBay, actually.
All right. Tell people what your Facebook handle is.
Okay. So my new website is live today, and it's nowirehangersever.com.
All right. And how often do you write and post?
Well, I'm going to get back to writing. I've just had a nice year hiatus from it, and I'm getting back with the new website. Hopefully just a whole new view and attitude. I'm starting
to
post.
No, don't change your attitude.
Well, I'm not changing my attitude, but just fresh.
And are you going to post the best of? Are you going to post the stuff you've written in the past on
the website? Yeah, everything's on there now. Every single thing is up there and on there.
It's very funny. I don't say that to a lot of people.
Thank you.
It's very funny.
Okay, can I just say that if you go on the website, my favorite post of all time, so anyone who grew up in a neighborhood where your parish had a festival in their parking lot, your writing about Fisher Fest was the funniest thing I've ever read. So really, needs to be part
Look
of your Friday.
Look for Fisher Fest.
Needs to be part of your Friday.
Make it part of your Fish Friday. 7:52, more in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I have a surprise guest in just a moment. Eileen O'Connor Behrens is here. NoWireHangersEver.com.
Yep.
Bridget Gaynor's here.
I also believe in no wire hangers ever. I just want to make that clear.
Thanks for jumping in.
I want to throw that in there.
And Mary Sandberg's here.
She may not agree with us, but we'll see.
Here's the thing. This came up off the air. Getting your kids to the activities. I said just now, you got to get all these kids to all these activities. You have a system?
No.
No system at all?
Nothing that's ever worked for me, no.
Okay. Well, Bridget, what is your system? You just told us off the air.
My system is that I think my kids should explore things that they really find that they're passionate about as long as they can get there themselves. I know.
Sandberg?
You know, the one of my new perks of my new job is that I work a full day, so I am no longer on the taxi cab service for the kids.
So you can't get them there.
That's the best
for these half day, these waste of time days. Yes. The 9:30 to 11:50.
Yes.
I don't know what anyone's supposed to do.
It's easier to not go at all.
Yeah. There's I've got other things.
Sometimes I'm just like, we'll stay home. We're not even going to get up for that.
But do you sign them up for everything?
Yes. I sign them up for absolutely everything this summer, and all I do is call people all day to get them out of what did I sign them up for.
So you call and apologize for the stuff you signed them up for because you're not going to make it.
Sorry, we're going to... And yesterday, I sent an email saying, we're going to be there tonight. And then we went to the pool, and no one wanted to get out of the pool, so then I had to send another email like, I'm sorry, I meant to say we're not going to be there tonight.
And I've had discussions, Sandberg, with you about this off the air. It's my fault. The whole thing's my fault. Because it's my kids and my generation of parents. Dave, it's your fault as well. Mary Vanderbilt as well.
I think, Steve, you also pretend you liked doing all of that because you weren't in town most of the time.
Well, I had systems, right? Because, like, my kids were on a swim team. The pool they swam in was near the golf course that I played. There was 4 hours between meets or events that they would be in. Plenty of time to get in a few holes, run back, pretend I was there the whole time. But it's easier. This is not a double standard. It's easier for dads. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because you show up for one thing and everyone's like, that is so awesome that you're here.
Oh, you came?
You guys are so great. It's so nice that you came to this for your child.
Right. Yeah, Mayor?
I don't know about you girls, but I thought of it as a challenge when my kids were... I had three kids, and I thought of it as a challenge. All three of them were in cross country. One was in college, one was in high school, one was in... this was a notorious day. I made it to all three cross country meets, and I was virtually driving cross country.
So is it an adrenaline rush for you to get everything
in? Like, it was like a race for me. It was so exciting. I loved the challenge of getting my kids to everything I possibly could.
Eileen, it's more of a pain in the butt for you?
And
a sense of disappointment and dread?
No. I have enough challenges in my life. I don't need that one. Back to the husband thing, though. It is so true. My husband will go to the store and with a kid, and women will come up to him. Oh, can we get you a coupon? Look at you, Dad. What do you need? He's calling me three times. You know, I asked for three things. And they're all fawning over. I'm there with the kids, and they're always like, can you keep that kid quiet? Like, I'm just, you know, the old crab walking around, the old lady in the shoe.
Does your husband, when he gets home, does he expect credit for?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he does. I've written about that several times. Yes, he does. Yeah. He shows me. Once he bought a pair of sunglasses from the grocery store, and he was really excited. It wasn't on the list, but he got them.
You just wrote, what, does he buy the wrong things?
Yes. Yes. I could draw him a picture of the store. I don't know why. He's a pretty smart guy, but he cannot do it. And I think he does it on purpose so that I won't ask him to do it, right?
Now, what do you mean exactly? What is exactly?
Because when you make it a huge hassle, then you know that, like,
it's easier for me to do.
Exactly. Because at some point, I was like, I don't care. But then you're like, who's the dummy to get sucked into this whole thing again?
This one.
I can't have 20-minute conversation about how to load the dishwasher.
No. And making popcorn. He made popcorn the other night. The kids are like, Dad, this is so bad. It's burnt. And I'm like, he does that, so he never has to make you popcorn again. Microwave popcorn.
Well, this does go to my Thanksgiving system, which is go into the kitchen of the host, break something immediately, be told to go watch football. Don't screw up dinner for the rest of us.
You guys all have that down. You know what you're doing.
I think Dave Ennett's the only one that doesn't do that.
Oh, he's so perfect.
No, but
oh my God, he's so perfect.
We got back from Italy, and I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I had to pick up like three things, and I did call my wife because. Right. Is it the sugar-free or the fat-free?
Right. And yeah, it's hard.
It's really amazing you're all running the world.
It is.
I get a lot of calls.
You guys got this. Yeah. We're going to be okay.
I get a lot of calls from the grocery store, but it's more fear-based. Because if they don't have the thing I want.
Oh, well, no, they're always out.
What are we placing it?
I'm like, how are they out?
I think we all remember that movie, The Wrath of Sandberg, if you come home with the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
So, do you have a cure for any of this? Any of the four women who are speaking up on this and beating the heck out of us poor boys?
No.
No.
If I did, I'd be a billionaire.
The problem is you have to not care about the outcome. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, not care about having the right thing. You have to not care about how the house is done. And so, at some point, you just have a higher standard. And you get punished then for having
just for being
standard.
A decent human being. Yes. Yeah.
See, I brought up this on the air, the making the bed thing. You know,
why am
I making the bed? Because I always make it wrong. So therefore, why don't you just make the bed and we cut out the middle step?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And my wife, Maureen, said, what would you know about that? You've never made the bed. Right. How would you be an expert on any of this when you haven't done it and you don't do it? So I don't know why that's a point.
And then the gentleman that killed Osama bin Laden, he makes his bed every day perfectly. So you can put your standard there.
Right.
You know.
Depends who's making the bed.
Instead
like
of trying to get out of making the bed.
Right.
Just put it.
Pat, I'm Sandberg, I'm talking about Dresden Pat. Has he ever made the bed to your liking?
He made the bed yesterday.
And it was okay?
He did it, yes. Because his mom was coming and she was coming before I was going to be there.
You didn't change a thing? You didn't wait till he left the room?
Nope. No, we don't have a complicated bed making, but he just usually doesn't do it. But he made it, and it made my heart swell. I need that. No jewelry. Don't go buy me a car. Make the bed, and it's like
do something without asking, and do it to the best of your ability.
Yep.
I'll just take the jewelry.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up doing that anyway, so I'd like a nice ring.
Eileen, it's great to meet you.
Thank you.
And I hope we can talk more because I want to plug whatever you're doing.
Okay, great.
And it's nowirehangersever.com.
Yes, it is.
And by the way, my best to Aunt Betsy.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'd be happy to hear that.
Yeah, it sounds like she'd be cool to hang out with.
She is.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Take her dancing.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. We got a break for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
People stop me on the street all the time. They say, Steve, and I say, what?
Because that's your name.
I say, I love that moron entertainment. Yesterday, someone I hadn't met who was at the golf course I was at said, you're Steve Cochran, right? I said, yeah. I said, I don't hear a lot of the show, but I sure hear you morons. I took that as the great testament of love that it was, Dean.
I'm looking forward to the Pride Parade on Sunday because it's always fun. And both WGN Radio and WGN TV both have floats. Bozo the Clown will be on our float. Tom Skilling, lots of your friends from WGN. But I'm looking forward to people holding up signs at the Pride Parade that say, we're here, we're morons, get used to it.
And haven't we reached a point in our evolution as a society, and certainly here in America, to accept us as morons? Please, come on.
Well, you know what? We were born this way as morons.
Right. It's not like we made a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such
you
an old school
stop
attitude.
Stop being a moron if you tried.
Yeah. No. It's who I am.
It's nature, not nurture.
And shouldn't you save that for the moron pride parade?
Yeah, we tried that once, and it was down a dead-end block. We kept running into a wall.
That's just like Wrigleyville every Saturday night. How about
that? Well, there is
That is true.
Post game. Bridget, you're going to be at the pride parade, right?
Absolutely.
When do you guys walk? Middle of the parade, end of the parade.
You know, we're kind of in the middle. They have everybody who's the elected official together, like in a corral.
By the way, it's the only parade where Bozo looks like someone who didn't try that hard to get dressed up.
Subtle. He's being subtle.
He's trying to underplay.
Yeah, he just phoned it in.
He's actually a little on the conservative side compared to a lot of the people.
Dean, one of the biggest smiles I ever saw on Dean's face was, because he knows I'm not as big into the clowns as he is. Dean's got a clown thing.
Yet.
Yeah. And I was kind of standing on a float above him. Dean comes over. He's got this big goofy smile on his face. And it's just crazy hot, like it's going to be this weekend. Mm-hmm. So everybody's sweating. And he goes, guess who's here? And he steps like an inch and a half to the side, and I see Bozo. Bozo comes out to the side. Then I feel like I apologize to Bozo. I'm talking to Bozo, and I'm just going, hey, I'm sorry. I really do like you guys. Like, he's the leader of the clowns, which he clearly is, but it's not like they're having meetings.
Yep.
I'm so sorry. I haven't been more.
Union?
He's the business agent for the clown union, and he's got an issue with you.
It is so much fun to be around Bozo, number one, because people become 8 years old when they're around Bozo. They go wild and they want to take pictures with him.
Right.
There have been times when we've been in and name the parade where people are chanting. It's like a rock star is going down the street. Paul McCartney is on the street.
Well, yeah, what do you do about that? What do you do about the ones that are clowns phobic? Wasn't Bob Collins clown phobic?
I'm not sure, but I don't think so, because Bozo was on with Bob.
Bob Collins had a clown thing. Maybe.
But Bozo is very good about not pushing himself on people who are scared. And I've seen people who are trembling, terrified at the sight of a clown, and Bozo does not push himself.
But meaning to take this up with you, so that day, after I apologized, Bozo wanted a hug. So I got off the float, I gave him a hug, and he lifted my wallet.
Yeah, there's that.
What are you going to do?
Should
you not have been slightly concerned when a grown man says, like, hey, we just met, we had a little bit of a not really anything, but now I'd like to hug you?
Well, it was the Pride Parade. Come on, let's all get on the same page here.
Everybody loves Bozo.
A lot of concerts this weekend?
There is tons of stuff going on this weekend. Shawn Mendes is in town tonight. He's at the United Center, I want to say.
Is that near the United Center?
Well, it's wherever I want it to be until my until my computer opens up my notes on this. That's where I'm thinking that he might be.
He's at the Allstate Arena.
He is at the Allstate Arena. Willie Nelson and Outlaw Music Festival is also not at the United Center. They're at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park tonight. At Ravinia tonight, Little Big Town, the Country Stars are performing there.
Good show.
The National will be at Northerly Island. And then tomorrow night at
Ravinia. What is the National?
The National is a group, and they sing songs about
nations?
National stuff.
Like all their songs has money. All their songs have to has the word national in it. That's the theme. Or they sing about the baseball team.
The Washington Nationals.
There's a lot of songs about that. You know, there's like all those breakup songs with Bryce Harper, and then, you know,
it's just weird that they could tour that act. Seems like it'd be rather local.
Oh, national, oh, national. God send.
Kind of makes it one of those things that makes me long for BTK. Huh? See what I did there?
BTS.
Right? Okay. So lots of stuff going on this weekend.
Car rental. National car rental.
You know, maybe there's enough for a concert.
There's a lot you can do with this.
Maybe there is.
Yeah.
By the way, our friend Bridget Gaynor here, who's the busiest woman I've ever met in my life. I literally, Dean, I asked her off the air, I go, what are you guys doing this weekend? She goes, nothing. I mean, I got a wedding going to at the Pride Parade.
Not this weekend.
Mary's in a play.
Kids are doing a play. She named like 47 things she's doing in two days, and that's a laid-back weekend.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff going on. Tomorrow at Ravinia, Counting Crows. Sunday,
really?
Sugarland is going to be at Ravinia.
Wow, I love Sugarland.
I love them.
Yeah, they're great.
Saturday in Grant Park, they're having something called Pride in the Park. With Iggy Azalea and Taylor Dane and lots of 80s and 90s stars performing. Snoop Dogg, Steve. Aren't you opening for Snoop Dogg tomorrow?
Snoop's opening for me.
In Grant Park, this is?
Concord. Well, Snoop is at Concord Music Hall.
We are at Concord Music Hall.
But Iggy Azalea.
The D-O-double-G.
Iggy Azalea is at Pride in the Park. Brandi Carlile is at Northern Rhode Island.
Well, a lot going on.
And Jennifer Lopez, if you're really hip, you say J-Lo, because you're probably too busy to say the actual
name. All that time.
Name. United Center tomorrow and Sunday.
One correction on that. It's her booty that's playing Sunday. It's not her. She's leaving town Saturday night. Her booty doesn't leave until
it's an
Sunday.
Avatar.
Left chart cheek tomorrow, right cheek Sunday.
So the United Center. Well, she's selling tickets too, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two nights.
All right, we come back. I want to talk about some movies that are out this weekend and then more with my fellow moron. This is Moron Entertainment. And it is sponsored, as always, by our friends at Ravinia. Dean, when are you at Ravinia?
I will be there for two nights in July. Left cheek on one night, right cheek on the other.
Of course.
But July the 12th, I'll be hosting the movie West Side Story on the big screen throughout the park. And then the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will play the score live. And then on the 21st, I'll be hosting Ghostbusters. Same thing. Movie on the big screen. CSO playing the score. And for both nights, I do a pre-movie chat with the audience. And we always have a lot of fun.
It's funny because I pitch Ravinia on doing the same thing with the music of Dude, Where's My Car? And then right. I do a Q&A.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from those guys.
They're very busy this time of year. I'm sure sure they'll get back to you soon.
A pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia on July 12th. See the Oscar-winning film West Side Story. The score performed live by the CSO, as Dean just told you. And his pre-concert interpretive dance. Get your tickets at Ravinia.org or win them now. What caller would you like to take on this scene?
I love caller 12.
Caller 12. Caller 12.
Everybody a chance to get through.
312-981-7200.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972-0.
826, coming up after 9, Dave Ennett's presentation of the presents. This is souvenirs you brought us from Italy.
They are. Hopefully they're acceptable and something.
Well, who turns down a souvenir?
Well,
nobody.
Hope nobody. But these are not necessarily indisposable souvenirs.
Well,
it might be something you use.
I do think the chicken fettuccine you got Dean because he's the food critic was very nice. I don't know how you get it to him.
It was delicious.
Oh, we already sent it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Glad you enjoyed it.
I warmed it up. It was just like brand new.
I know Lou Malnati's does that thing where they flash free stuff. They send it all over the country.
Yeah.
And that seems like a good business.
You can flash freeze White Castle.
You can?
Yes. And people, there's like crates that you can get. Home Run Inn does it, and Malnati's, and yeah.
There ought to be a way, though. There ought to be an app for this where I could order Italian food from Italy, and I could just find, you know, click it on my app, and it shows up at my house the next day, like Amazon,
like Uber,
and
like
it's edible.
Italy?
Yeah, yeah.
Uber Eats, yeah. Italian style.
Uberly.
You know, we do have some very fine Italian restaurants here.
I mean, Italians
just
have,
like
right.
being in Italy.
Italians have moved here.
What?
Then they make food.
How am I not told these things?
But you know, it's kind of like, have you ever had a bagel in New York City?
Uh-huh.
It's better.
It's better. It's
than
true.
Here. And even
there's
though,
no question.
It's true.
You know, even
same
though
with
you
the corned beef
some,
sandwich.
Right. Somebody who would like made bagels in New York, they move here. It's not the same. People say it's the water, but I don't know.
I worked in New York for a bit. And they change the hot dog water on the carts and the bagel water once a year. And it's very ceremonial.
Whether they need to or not.
Yeah.
Okay, you know the hot dog place that used to be on North? And it was Fullerton, Damon, and Elston, that corner. What's the Vienna Beef.
Okay.
Still there.
So they had this factory that had been there for a really long time. They rebuilt the all brand new factory. They run the hot dogs through the factory. And they're not pink. As pink before, and they don't have the same kind of flavor and smell. So they're like, what's going on? They reverse engineer the whole thing. Well, what they realize is they used to be transported through different rooms of the old assembly plant.
Picking up the various room stuff?
Picking up the various smells and sounds and whatever. And so they kind of had to replicate that in the new hot dogs.
I can't think of anything I want to know less about than how a hot dog's made.
That's true. And I think, isn't July like National Hot Dog Month?
Is it?
So I was just last night at my... So my daughter Mary was in a play at Mother Macaulay, Frozen Junior, for those of you who don't have any plans tonight.
Mm-hmm. Then Let's sell it out. Let's get everybody there.
Then we went to Janssen's, which is on 99th and Western, and literally my three favorite foods from a fast food standpoint, Janssen's cheese dog with everything, no mustard, no peppers, a double cheeseburger from White Castle, and then I'm allowing space for the third because it switches out from time to time.
Sure, that's the rotator.
How I'm feeling. But those two... A number one. So we were getting ready for Hot Dog Month.
Jansen's is a legendary place.
Oh,
when I,
yeah,
so I, know, I gotta get when you I lived there, that was a legendary place. You go for the double cheeseburgers and chocolate shake, but mostly it was just to stand outside and smoke cigarettes so you look cool.
I spent lots of time in that parking lot as a young person.
I have to get you and Dean together. You are all, literally the only two people I know that know everybody. Everybody. There's nowhere in town. Honestly, we could do this as a video. There's nowhere in town I could drop you or drop Dean where within 10 seconds somebody didn't come up and go, Bridget, Dean, how are you?
Not Bozo the Clown? Because I don't want that.
No.
Jansen's is legendary, though. If you're from the
don't
south
soft
side,
sell yourself.
It's like Rainbow Ice. How about a Rainbow Ice Cream? If you lived on the south side, you lived at Rainbow Ice Cream in the summertime.
Yeah, and I had not had it until it was brought into the show. I get it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's not as good as a cheese dog, but, I mean, it's up there.
The movies. What is Annabelle Comes Home?
Annabelle is the third in the Conjuring franchise of this scary doll.
We don't need this.
Annabelle, who is a portal for evil.
Can we just say that if you in your life have a doll that looks at you the wrong way, it's probably going to kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, well,
worse than a clown.
This
right?
doll is here. Here's the real lesson in here. This doll, because it's so evil, is kept in a sanctified glass case. As long as it's in the case, you can't do anything. But the babysitter's Snoopy friend goes around the house one night, opens the glass, and releases Annabelle. And, well, all
hell breaks loose.
Let me ask you,
is it the same babysitter that goes with her friends, their college age, and they go out to a cabin in the woods that's completely abandoned? And then at night, they're just in a T-shirt and panties, and then they go to a closet, and they look in the closet. Is that the same girl?
It's pretty much, yeah.
And it's the same girl that, like, when they're in a creepy house, she goes to the basement because she hears a noise.
Yes.
And she has to really get
and
to
she
the
goes alone
of,
with the lights off.
Well, she needs to figure out what's going on because, you know, when I hear a strange noise in a strange house, what
you
I want
to
say is let me get to the bottom of this by myself.
No question.
And when I do that, even if I'm fully clothed, I take most of my clothes off and go in the basement. Because that's the way you're supposed to. Clearly, that's the way you're supposed to do it. This movie is it's so formula that way. But there are a couple of good scares. It's not overly gory. It's harmless fun. I gave it a C+. The movie that you want to see this weekend, though, is Yesterday.
This is the Beatles movie.
It's this Beatles movie that there something happens to this struggling musician that enables him to be the only person in the world who seems to remember the Beatles, who they are, and their songs. They are completely erased. You go on the internet and you type in Beatles, and the bug comes up, the insect.
No reference to Paul, John, George, and Ringo.
None. You type in John, Paul, George, Ringo on the Google, and Pope John Paul comes up. There is no reference to the Beatles or their songs whatsoever. So he, the struggling musician, takes these songs as his own and claims them and becomes a worldwide phenomena. A mania over this guy begins to develop. So it's such a cute concept, and there's so many great Beatles songs that you're going to hear in this movie. But what I took out of this movie is this guy struggles with the moral question of
the weight of the lie.
Yeah,
the weight of the lie.
He's completely lying.
Do I continue to pretend these songs are mine? And also, you can't help but leaving. What if things in my life that I loved and mean so much to me never existed in the first place? How different would I be? How different a person would I be if I didn't have some of the things that made me who I am along the way?
You're talking about me now, right?
Like a Jansen's cheese dog?
Is that where you're talking about me, Bozo, and a Jansen's cheese dog?
If rainbow ice cream never existed, what kind of person would I be?
All right, so you recommend.
It's Dean's List B+. It's a very sweet movie. I liked it a lot.
All right, what are they doing with the Avengers?
They're bringing it back to big screens this weekend with additional footage, new footage that was not in the original 3-hour movie, because I'm all for you take a long movie and make it even longer. That's what the directors, Joe and Anthony Russo, have done. Yesterday, I talked with them, and they told us exactly what they did.
A scene involving the Hulk that was deleted from the film, sort of a very rough scene, so people can get a peek behind the curtain of how we make these movies. And I think what's most important and super exciting is you're going to get to see the first 2 minutes of Spider-Man Far From Home. at the end of this film. And the end of Endgame leads directly into Spider-Man Far From Home. So if you're disappointed that we didn't have a tag included on the movie when it came out a few months back, now you get your tag.
Yeah, so when I tell you about Spider-Man Far From Home, which opens next Tuesday, I'll tell you how these two movies go together kind of seamlessly.
And an extra $15 per person for the people that made the movie.
It does not hurt that, one, if you're a Marvel fan, you get this extra content. Two, Disney makes more money, and as I pointed out before, why not make a long movie even longer?
Yeah, and mouse ain't free. That's the old Disney slogan, mouse ain't free.
Yeah, exactly right.
Dean, on the radio Sunday?
On the radio, half of a show, because I have to leave early to go be in the Pride Parade.
Sure.
So I'll be there until 11 o'clock. We'll have the full interview that I did with Joe and Anthony Russo, the directors of Avengers Endgame, and lots of grilling for the 4th of July tips. I'm going to be grilling on TV on Monday. People always ask me about that.
Sure.
So we're going to have a lot of tips and some special things. And then we'll be out there with the clown and Tom Skilling and the whole gang on WGN Radio and TV Floats in the Pride Parade that steps off at noon from Montrose and Broadway.
Happy Pride weekend. Thanks, man.
Thank you. You too.
See you. And Zach Brown Band at Tinley Park as
nice.
Well, amongst all the
it's
other things.
Quite a weekend.
Bridget's got to leave because you're just so wound up about the debates. You just have to go break it down.
I have to go gouge my eyes out because I didn't complete the job last night.
Right, exactly. Bridget Gaynor, and thank you so much as always.
Great to be here.
Have a great quiet weekend with your family.
Just chilling.
We're back at the headlines next on 720 WGN. Right now, as a matter of fact. And Dean, sponsored by Ravinia.
I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country.
True. I did not praise racists. That is not true. Number one. Number two, if we want to have this campaign litigated on who supports civil rights and whether I did or not, I'm happy to do that. I was a public defender. I didn't become a prosecutor. I came out and I left a good law firm to become a public defender.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the most talked about piece of last night's debate. Steve, have we seen any ratings? Or will we see ratings on that, you know, overnights on the debate?
We will. I think they came in about midday yesterday for the night before's debates, which were actually pretty well watched. The ratings were pretty good for the first night. So the second night's, we'll get the last night ratings probably in about an hour or so.
Theoretically, they should be better because that was the A team versus the B team and the numbers that we now know. A two share on cable's huge. Are we talking about a two share or more?
I don't know. I don't want to guess on stuff like that because you just never know.
Well, it's the combined.
But you would guess that it would be pretty well watched.
It's
right?
Combined of the NBC platforms, Telemundo, I think, right?
All of them.
And MSNBC and NBC Networks. So yeah. You'd think they'd have a few watching it.
So the night before last, just to put it into perspective, the ratings were as high as a regular primary debate during an election season. So imagine it being primary season already, and we kind of know who the candidates are in the primary. It matched that level of excitement among viewers.
Well, here's what I'm struggling with. Kamala Harris is a very impressive person. Not a very impressive woman, a very impressive person. And I thought she did a nice job last night, and I thought she's acquitted herself well. However, what she did with Vice President Biden amounted to a political cheap shot to some extent, and the way Biden handled it was awful. I love Joe Biden. I think he's great. Always have. Big supporter. But having said that, how can he not have an answer when the other candidates put him in a position of you're the old guy, or not have an answer when this racism thing comes up when they all agree he's not a racist? I just don't understand how he could just appear to be snotty, bitchy, or defensive when you got to know those two things are coming. What am I missing there, Steve?
I don't know what you're missing. You know, I have to agree that I thought he was almost sort of like on autopilot last night. But the whole thing, just when you put it all into perspective, though, at one point when they were all yelling at each other and they and a couple of them just wouldn't stop talking and let people answer, I, as a viewer who likes that kind of stuff, who likes political debates and political stuff, it turned me off, and I actually turned the channel and went away from it. So, you know, they need to get that out of the way, because I think it was sort of detrimental for the Democrats to put this many people on stage and have these people arguing and yelling at one another when nobody could get through. And I thought Kamala Harris had one of the best lines of the night, where he's like, she said, let's stop the food fight, gentlemen. People want, I mean, well, let's put food on people's table. Let's talk about that instead of, like, sniping at each other.
Well, it's remarkable to know that the Democrats saw the Republicans do this to themselves 4 years ago, and now we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, you did. And the other thing, too, and I had this discussion earlier, let's put people on the stage who have high poll numbers, right? That mm-hmm. would have been a good way to weed out half of the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would have been a better thing for people to watch. Let's see the five top, you know, people, vote getters among, not necessarily vote getters, but the top people who the public want to see.
I agree with you, but then your argument obviously is, how did the others get traction if you don't give them an opportunity to get traction? Because this time, 4 years ago, Trump was at 1%. And then grew like the fungus that he became. You know, Jimmy Carter, though the polling and the primary situation was obviously different back then, Jimmy Carter was a nobody that nobody knew. Bill Clinton had come off a bad nominating speech in 1988 to come out of nowhere in 1992. So how do they get known if they're not giving an opportunity to get known? But I know you can't put 10 people on stage or 20 over two nights and expect a lot of good to come out of it. It just is impossible. And Chuck Todd has taken so much grief this week on, you know, on your internets. Yeah, let me just tell you, from sitting in positions, not like that, but positions where you've got to corral a bunch, it's impossible. The job's impossible as a moderator.
And when you have candidates, and there were a couple of them, Eric Swalwell was one of them, and Kirsten Gillibrand to a certain extent too, they just wouldn't stop. They just were. They realized from the night before that the way to get through would just be keep talking.
Was that the blonde girl? Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah,
my
she's
God.
A senator from New York.
I literally watched it for 10 minutes, and I saw that whole racial thing going on, and I thought she was kind of bullying Biden. I love her, and I like him, too, and I was like, wow, she's really... I didn't even think what she was talking about with being on the bus and blah, blah, blah was related.
That was Kamala, but Gillibrand... Kamala.
Yeah,
Gillibrand's
right.
The other
right, well, she was talking
female.
About something else, but the Kamala thing, when she was talking about this, the bus, her own personal experience with that, and I don't know, she lost me because I didn't think they related to what she was calling.
Well, see,
Biden
that's the thing.
Racist.
That's the thing. How do we live in this time that we live in, where if all the Democrats agree that Joe Biden's not a racist, that they're going to spend a tremendous amount of time pointing out that he negotiated with racists? If you dial the clock back 40 years, I hate to break it to you, kids, the world was a different place.
Yeah, and he's got quite a history.
Of course he does.
Everybody's got things they aren't happy.
But I'm not even saying. Listen, I'm not even saying that he needs to defend what he did 40 years ago, because if there were racists in a position of power in his own party or in the other party in 1973, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, the only way you could do the job was to talk to them because they were in a position of power. It's not like he was going to a Klan meeting. So the idea that he doesn't have a defense for that is bizarre to me, because he's not making things up when he says his initial comments were taken out of context. So Biden's got to be better if he expects to maintain front-runner status. But all of this harangue, we're still 16 months away from the general election.
I know, it's almost exhausting already.
Right.
Yeah.
I was exhausted after 10 minutes.
The voices, too. I mean, again, I was tuned in for about a half an hour, so I can't speak for the entire debate last night. But there were a couple of other moments where Pete Buttigieg had some really good responses to things about religion and the Republicans and kind of losing their ground on religion because of some of the things that they've been saying and doing. And then there were some really good comments, too, on health care and Medicare for all that some of the other candidates talked about. And all that just got lost with the main fight over the segregationists. A part of it.
815 texture says, I love the debates, even though there were 10, because I love the idea of people discussing issues important to me, even if there were some that were talking over each other. 630, I didn't think the debates were A versus B team. I thought they were arbitrarily split into two groups. It worked out A versus B team as a general way of terming the two nights, just because there were more of the front runners last night than there were the nights before. And then somebody else writes in the 630, the debates will give Trump negative sound bites to use in his campaign. We assume this person's a Democrat, must be responsible in our dialogue with each other. And an 815, I love Joe, but he was not good. So Yeah, I mean, Biden's got to be better, and the Democrats have to figure out a way to talk about stuff that doesn't relate to 40 years ago and isn't issue-oriented for the people of today. And they got to find somebody. It's amazing to me, Steve, when you think about this, and Mary and Dave. Here we are almost 3 years down the road with Donald Trump, and the Democrats are acting like they're in a panic because how could we possibly beat Trump? 3 years ago, we were saying, there's no way this hairpiece is going to get elected. So don't create your own reality if you really want to remove Trump from office. And there's a lot to do between now and then, and a lot that's going to happen between now and then, including the distinct possibility that there's more to roll on this whole Trump being a criminal thing, which, I'm crazy. I think that's important. I think your president shouldn't be a criminal.
Yeah,
I think he should be held to a higher standard.
And again, we're a year away from the first votes being counted.
Right.
In any race of these races. So
we will be in Iowa next January. Because honestly, if you don't want to be in Iowa in January, what are you thinking? It's beautiful.
Broadcasting live from a snowdrift.
Boy, the weather was terrible in 16 when we were there. It's like a blizzard.
Right.
Weird.
Because I was there for a game, and you guys
exactly. You're on the other side of the state. Yeah. Pete McMurray.
I just dropped my son off at Loyola University basketball camp.
You know why parents have to put kids in camp? Because parents put kids in camp.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have to put kids in camp because all the other kids are in camp.
Did your kids take camp? Did they go camping?
No.
Not at all?
No, I did some sports stuff. I don't want to lead you astray here. I don't want you to think that I could turn my kids loose and suddenly they have an idea as what to do with their time. None of them did. I've told the story before, but Ross and his buddies, beautiful day like this, he's 10, 11, 12 years old, and they were bugging me. They're making a lot of noise, and I was working on something that had to be done. I said, you guys need to get out of here, go across the street, play some baseball. One of his friends looked up and said, will there be adult supervision? Another kid said, can we bring our phones?
Yeah.
End of civilization as we know it.
They're all snowflakes.
And I've turned into the old guy with lemonade sitting on the porch. Back on the Steve Cochran Show. Pete's doing some filling in again. It's always good when you hear Pete on the radio, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
I mean, you're generally speaking, I know you don't like him, but I think he's done
his job. That's not true. I do like him. He actually emailed me.
That's right, you do.
While I was in Italy. And I didn't respond.
What a good story.
Call me crazy.
Were you on vacation? By the way, how are the listeners in Italy?
Our listeners were great. They were terrific. This was we had a big group, too. And they, big fans of yours. Really?
Well, no, that's nice to hear. It's very nice to hear.
Yeah, they were very nice things to say about the show and about the radio station.
Well, that's great.
That was good.
I'm looking forward to taking them all to Prague. Because I don't know if you know, it's the same group that goes on every one of Bertrand's groups.
Yes, I think your group may be a little bigger. Because don't you have like three groups?
I think there are three groups.
Yeah.
It's not my deal. It's the Blackhawks. They all want to go see the Blackhawks. Plus, Prague is supposedly a beautiful city.
I won't know because
I'm storming the castle.
That's true. You're storming the castle, but I think you're selling yourself too short. I think, they're glad they get to see the Blackhawks, but they get to travel with Steve.
Which is a dream for anyone.
Sure.
The Ro Khan Show with Anna DeLonta. Speaking of Bertrand Travel, invite you to join Ro and Anna on a tour of London. That trip departs October 3rd. We're going on the 2nd.
And let's see, on the 3rd and the... Like that weekend, I think the Bears will be in London.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
They're going to see the Bears. But I can say the Bears. They can't say the Bears.
Right.
They're going to see the Bears play the Oakland professional football team. This is the way the lawyers want us to say this. The Chicago professional football team will be playing the Oakland professional football team.
Soon to be the Las Vegas professional football team.
Because the NFL owns all this licensing, and we're not supposed to use the terms Bears or Raiders.
Right. In a non-news sense.
Anyway, be at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on October 6th.
See, they're mad.
That's the alarm going off in the background.
That's the alarm going off that you have said too much, buddy.
I thought something was backing up.
The trip includes air and from Chicago, four nights, four star at the four-star Radisson Edwardian in Kenilworth. That's not our Kenilworth. It's their Kenilworth.
Right.
Premium ticket package to the game at Hotspur Stadium. And this stadium... This is Paul Coit's team stadium.
Right. Oh, sure.
The best stadium in the world.
That's what they say.
So it's just crazy how nice this place is.
That beeping is for me, guys, when you have a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning until 9:45 for northeastern Kane and all of McHenry County. Radar right now is tracking a severe thunderstorm over Marengo, moving to the east at 25 miles per hour. Radar indicated potential for 60 mile per hour wind gusts and quarter size hail. People in Carpentersville, Algonquin, McHenry, Woodstock, Marengo, Lake in the Hills, Huntley, Lakewood, Prairie Grove, also Crystal Lake, Cary, Barrington should be on the watch here. Severe thunderstorm warning again for northeastern Kane and McHenry County until 9:45.
That's the greatest thing you could use your smartphone for when you're taking care of kids in a camp or you got kids outside in the summertime. You got it in your pocket. You got the volume up. You're going to know when the weather situation happens if you just download one of these weather alert systems. That's all. Because you're going to want to get kids inside. And think how many camps are going on right now. Tons of little kids outside.
Oh, yeah.
Storm rolls in fast like this. The London trip. Call Bertrand Travel at 847-606-6065. 847-606-6065. Or you can also find it at WGNradio.com. I'll come back with your news in just a moment. And hi to everybody at CLTV. Look, CLTV, Dave's back.
Hi, CLTV.
And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will elucidate the world to you. What? Next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La
la la la. La 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 la. La la la. 914. Steve Cochran Show continues. Look, we bring people in here who want to help you. It's not about them. It's about you. Colin Egglesfield is here. Colin's had a very busy career as an actor. His new book is Life Lessons from Hollywood and Beyond, The Agile Artist. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We were just talking about you on All My Children.
Yes.
All My Children featured a woman named Erica Kane, very famous. Would you say the most famous soap opera actress of all time?
The queen of daytime television.
Got to be, right?
For sure.
How many times was she married?
11.
11 times.
Yeah, only 11.
Just 11?
Yeah. But she was married to the same person like three or four different times, right?
That's a good question.
Guys.
I don't know.
But
I
they still
the
count.
Of her first marriage, though.
Okay, so how would you describe your character like you described it off the air?
The transplanted, unaborted fetus of Erica Kane, which happens all the time.
So there was a transplant of you as a fetus that she would eventually give birth to?
Yeah, so she got pregnant back in the 70s, and supposedly the doctor who did the abortion was in love with her. So instead of doing the abortion, he stole the fetus, me, out of her, implanted it into his wife. So I was born of the doctor and his wife, thinking they were my real parents, but biologically, Erica's my real mom.
And at some point, you find that out.
Yeah, and then I kind of...
And hilarity ensues.
The rails and kidnap JR's wife, and I steal my dad's private jet, crash land on a deserted island, and then became a doctor.
Frankly, just another day
on
All My Children. All right, so what are you trying to do with Agile Artist?
So I wrote this book essentially because... Over the past 20 years, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you know, you've made it in Hollywood. How did you do it? You've overcome cancer. What was that experience like?
I would guess you get the Hollywood question every day.
Pretty much.
Right.
And I was living across the street from the World Trade Center when all that happened.
Is that right?
And yeah, my apartment was literally across the street. So when the first planes hit, I went to my window, saw everything that was going on. And what really got me was seeing the people trapped up in the towers above the flames. And I'd been thinking about pursuing, you know, a career as possibly an actor, but life got really real for me in that moment, in the sense that, you know,
perspective.
Life is short. Perspective. It's all perspective.
They just went to work that day.
Pretty much.
That's all they
did. So in my book, Agile Artist, I talk about how to reframe certain experiences in a context that are empowering, because there's a lot of experiences that we go through in our life that are disempowering. So for me, it was all about, okay, life is short. What do I really want to do in life? If I really want to be an actor, if something I really care about, and much like anyone else, if you care about something enough, then you shouldn't let any other influences stop you from pursuing whatever it is that you really care
about. Yeah, the Agile Artist is not just for actors. The Agile Artist is for anybody.
Exactly. So what I've learned in my acting classes, pretty much I think everyone could benefit from. So when I was going through my cancer experience, when I was, you know, out in Hollywood facing rejection on a daily basis. There's a lot of really great strategies and techniques we learn as actors to create empowering context. Because when we go into an audition, we literally have to create our own reality in that room. So when I was facing my cancer experience, I realized, okay, you know what? I can take these principles and turn them into an empowering context to help me get through it.
You talk about in the book, Staring Death in the Face, and a man named Dr. Berman. Tell me about Dr. Berman.
So he was my cancer doctor. And
what type of cancer are we talking about?
Testicular cancer.
And self-exam found this?
Yes. And, you know,
the reason I bring this up is because it's vitally important for people. I mean, hopefully you're the one that notices this thing, because when you notice something that's abnormal, you got to get it checked.
Right. But much like most men out there,
I
was stubborn about it. I was like, oh, this will go away. And I waited almost too long, because by the time I went and saw Dr. Berman, it was advanced stage. And what I'm trying to do with Agilartis is pretty much say, you know what? It's okay as men to talk about this stuff. I mean, as a man being working on all my children at the time, I'd only been on all my children for 6 months when I was diagnosed with this, and I didn't want to tell anyone, because, you know, as men, we're protective about our, you know,
our special spots. But the thing is, there's no weakness in testicular cancer. You didn't ask for it. It's not like you went out and did something that gave it to you.
Well, there's no weakness in any cancer. And I think
the strength is admitting you need help.
Exactly. And that's the one thing I talk about in Agilartis, that when I decided to finally open up and be vulnerable and share it, it turned into an incredibly empowering experience, because my community showed up to support me and get me through it all.
What life are you on? Cancer? 9/11? Are you on 3? Or the others you haven't told me about?
I would say probably the 8th one. I mean,
You've had an interesting life.
Yeah.
Some of those things you can't even tell me. Stick around. We'll do more in just a second. But Agilartis out and available everywhere.
On Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and I always say this, Dave, I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, get 2 copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. Maybe download a 3rd so you got a backup.
That's an even better idea.
We were just talking off the air. You know, I don't buy books. I promote books. I bought 2 of these myself just now.
Well, you want to get this one.
Yeah.
You should see the reviews on Amazon.
They're very good.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I bought 2 of these, and I just gave Colin $20. I said, go out and get a book for yourself.
Well, I paid you to say that.
Sox win!
The White Sox family reunion on WGN Radio. Does this sound familiar?
Call your sons, call your daughters, call your friends, call your neighbors. Mark Burley has a perfect game going to the 9th.
There it is, your official clue to call. Be caller 20 now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Score Sox tickets and be qualified to win the White Sox family reunion. A private suite with room for 20 guests to see the Sox play in July. Caller 20 right now, 312-981-7200.
You already know that exception.
By the way, Mary, Colin Egglesfield is here. And if I look in the producer's booth now, there's people from the office who don't even know what time I'm on. They happen to be women who are coming in to meet Colin.
Yeah. And take his picture, of course.
Hey, hi. Did you guys know Colin was on?
No, they're not really listening to the show. They're just kind of
they're just waiting for Colin to come out so they can talk to him.
Yep.
Hey, Super Joe, would you explain to them that this show's on every morning between 6 and 10?
Yeah. Once I start talking, this is like a hum sound.
Yeah, and they were in the other day because the dog was in there, remember?
Yeah, this is what I'm losing out to. Colin Egglesfield and a really cute dog that came in. So thanks, pal.
Bring a baby and you'll be good.
The Steve Cochran Show.
9:26. Live on CLTV and 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com and streaming on WGNRadio.com. You can't escape us. The book's called The Agilartis, Colin Egglesfield. How long have you been home, by the way? When did you come home to Chicago?
Came back last year. I was in L.A. for the past 10 years and grew up in the south side, south suburbs of Chicago, Crete.
Mm-hmm.
Went to high school in Chicago Heights, Marian Catholic. And, just felt like I needed to just kind of get back here, get back to my roots.
Living in the city now?
Yeah, I live in West Loop.
Okay, if you want to give us the address, the women from the office would like it personally so they can come by and say hi.
Yeah, maybe off air.
Yeah, right? Agile Artist, this is a book about agility in your own life, about being able to recover from those things that knock you down, and about knowing how to react to things that surprise you from the left and the right.
Yeah.
Not just about show business.
not just show business, but there's a lot of things that I've learned from working in show business that I, like I said, I felt like a lot of people could benefit from, and just having gone through my whole cancer experience as well. I do a lot of work with St. Jude's Charity and St. Jude Hospital, and meeting a lot of the kids that are going through the same experience that I went through. It just felt like, you know, having, knowing what that experience is like and being able to be there for them and be that kind of role model, it just felt like there's a lot of things that that I wanted to share with people to help them get through similar experiences.
Well, you look great. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't say that to grown men that often, but you look great. And I assume you're on the right side of cancer now?
Yeah. Yep. So after 5 years, you're considered cancer-free. It was a scary 3 years, though, of that, you know, the fear of the unknown.
Are you past five now?
Past five. So okay. This was 13 years ago. And just, you know, when you get that initial diagnosis, you know, the fear of the unknown, your brain just goes to the worst case scenario. And so that's what I talk about in Agile Artist, about how creating certainty and essentially creating your own context of, okay, yes, I have this. This is the diagnosis, but
right.
That doesn't have to define who I am or how the outcome is going to be.
How do you? I have had you know, my own near death experiences off and on, you know, show business, but I think called a pulmonary embolism.
Oh,
and
wow.
It turns out I have a hereditary blood thing that I didn't know I had until I found that out. But you know,
I saved. Not to make light of this, but I did save Erica Kane's life.
Oh, she had a PE?
With a pocket knife and a straw, because she had a PE.
Yeah. You should have been around, dude. I could have used
it. I could have saved
it. But the point being, there were times where I struggled with waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I think when you have that near-death thing, no matter how close to it you actually get, every little tweak that you feel or whatever, you go, well, this is it. Did you go through that?
Yeah, because after my first diagnosis, went through the radiation, surgery, and then every 3 months was going for my checkup, and kind of felt like, all right, I'm on the road to recovery. A year later, get diagnosed again. So then it's like, okay, what's going on here?
Sure.
So then after that, I was going up to Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City every month for my checkup. And it was like, is this the day that they're going to find something? And like you just said, you wake up and you got that ache in your side, and you're like, is this a tumor? Or, you know, you get a headache, and you're like, is this...
Things you never thought about.
Yeah.
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 And so what do you recommend for people who have gone through, not necessarily the same thing you've gone through or I've gone through, who have that other shoe's going to drop? My whole thing was, you can't live your life that way.
Exactly. So you can focus either on the negative or you can focus on the positive. And our brains are incredibly powerful one way or the other.
Right.
So, you know, it's easy to focus on the negative because those thoughts just come into your head inevitably.
So they'll live there if you let them.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, it was all about every day waking up in the morning and creating that empowering context. Okay, you know what? What can I focus on today to just get me through and allow me to be able to do everything possible to stay healthy, stay mentally empowered? And so for me, it was going to work out, focusing on continuing going to all my children, learning my lines, focusing on just doing things that made me feel good about where I was at. And then journaling as well helped a lot in terms of writing down what my reality was. And every month when I was going for my checkups, instead of in my calendar writing cancer checkup, I wrote good health appointment.
So yeah.
Whenever I looked at it, I was like, all right, this is it. This is just, I'm going there to confirm my good health.
Yeah.
So just training my brain to...
It's how you frame things.
Focus on the positive.
We talked off the air about the actor's experience, and I think you said 2,000 auditions and 40 credits. What's that workout percentage was?
2% success rate.
And I would say that's standard for people who have, quote, made it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that was something that was kind of... perspective changing for me, because one of my acting teachers is Nicole Kidman's personal acting coach.
Okay.
So she goes to set with Nicole, and she'll describe like how Nicole was going through working with Sean Penn, and Sean Penn is a very just kind of he's in the moment. He'll make all these crazy noises, and he's just kind of like
right.
Does these weird things to get himself in the moment.
Yeah, there's nothing quite as funny, having been on a couple of sets. You can certainly talk more about this, but there's nothing quite like what actors do before the director yells action.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, there's no standard.
It's like you look over, and sometimes you think you're in an insane
see Robert
asylum.
De Niro barking, yeah. You know, and suddenly scene.
Yeah, but hearing about Nicole Kidman being nervous while working with like Sean Penn, and then talking about how self-critical she was, it made me realize that, you know what, there's acting is, I think, why people enjoy it so much. It's like sports. You can be good at it, but there's, you may have that perfect shot in golf, but that's what you're striving for all the time.
And the challenge is still there tomorrow.
The challenge is still there, yeah.
I assume you're glad to be back in town. What are you focused on now?
So I'm also doing some real estate here in Chicago. I've been rehabbing houses in between my acting jobs, and mainly been doing it in the south side of Chicago. And what's great about that is I work with some contractors who have hired some former gang members and provided some employment opportunities down there. And with my book, Agile Artists, 10% of the proceeds are going towards developing a community center in Roseland.
Good for you.
There's
man.
A group called good Project Osmosis.
And that's great.
They essentially expose kids in the inner city to careers in art and design. So with a lot of the schools, you know, budgets being cut for athletics and art and music.
Doing all these good things. Is this cutting into acting a little bit?
No, not at all. I mean,
you're able to do both.
It enhances it, because I think when one of the reasons why I left Los Angeles is because I would be sitting in my place and waiting for that next audition and waiting for that phone to ring, and then it's like watching a tea kettle boil. You know,
So
when you're out doing different things and you focus on other things other than what you're hoping will happen, then inevitably that other stuff does.
What's the evolution of life too, right? You all get to a point where if you've had some success and you sound like the same way, you feel like you need to pay it forward a little bit, and paying it forward is doing something like you're doing, because it's not just about making you feel good, it's actually helping people.
Yep, exactly.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, it's all
good
about
story.
Creating fulfillment in your life.
I have to ask one more piece of perspective before we run out of time. And again, the book is Agile Artist Life Lessons from Hollywood and Beyond, Colin Egglesfield. The fact that you lived across the street on 9/11, we all know where we were on 9/11, but you lived across the street, you're home alone, you're minding your own business, it's a Tuesday morning, and the world changes, like right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
But you sounded like, in the initial explanation of this, you had perspective of some of these people who had to make a choice of dying on the upper floors of the World Trade Center or jumping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get beyond that. What do you do with that?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was in shock for most of the few weeks after that. And it wasn't until I came back here to Chicago a few weeks after that I truly started to be able to process it. When I went to that window that morning and I saw people up there, it was almost like it didn't register. And as soon as I saw people starting to jump, then it got real. And then I grabbed my video camera and I was starting to videotape all this experience. And a friend of mine called and I'm on the phone with her, had the video camera going. And then the second plane comes in. And that's when I was like, okay, this
isn't an accident.
So I ran downstairs and standing outside of my building watching. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, I saw two people holding hands jumping out of the windows. And at a certain point, it just got to a point where I couldn't watch it anymore.
Sure.
And I started walking up the street, went into a deli to get some water, and then it was like an earthquake. The ground started shaking. The lights went out. I ran outside. People were running and screaming. And it was 2 weeks later before I could get back to my apartment. Went in there. It looked like a bomb had blown up in my apartment. There was glass and debris and metal beams and all these financial statements. And I had 10 minutes to grab whatever I could put into a suitcase and leave. And my parents were like, come back to Chicago. And I was like, no, I don't want to leave. This is my city. But once I did, it was once I went through the Holland Tunnel and was driving towards the New Jersey to Newark Airport.
Sure.
That's when the emotion started to hit me. I looked across the Hudson River, saw the smoke still coming out of the...
Right, and the World Trade Center is gone. And if you've ever gone through those tunnels, Lincoln or Holland Tunnel, you know, that defines what New York looked like.
Exactly. And I went to Newark, checked in, and literally sat down in a little restaurant, and I started to...
Cried your eyes out.
Cried my eyes out.
Sure.
And it was like my body held in all these emotions until now. It felt like I was in a safe place to be able to let it out. And then I just, even, you know, weeks after that, trying to deal with processing that, it was just...
Well, and I say it, too, because I think it ties into the theme of the book, too, because going through that, all the other things in your life, but going through that, that's another choice you have to make. What's my agility here? How am I going to be agile about this?
Right, and deciding my home is gone.
Right.
And I just focused on, like, okay, what matters to me in my life right now? I knew that acting was something that I was passionate about, but up until that point, I wasn't sure if going out to Hollywood was something I could be successful with. I'd only had two small credits to my name. And once I saw that experience looking up at those towers, if those people trapped up in those towers, I guarantee you, if they had a second chance at life, they would have done anything.
Right.
And it made me realize that, you know what, life is short. If you really care about something and you want to do it, why would you let anyone or anything stop you from going forward?
And don't waste a day.
Don't waste a day.
Right. So it's a great message. It really is.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. I'm glad you're back in town.
I'm loving being back.
Do you get tired of people asking if you're me when you're walking down the street?
Yeah,
you and I get confused a lot.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, yeah. I understand completely. You see that, don't you? The resemblance?
Well, no, because I kind of...
It's probably the angle.
I see you more as another actor that we...
Clooney?
Well, yeah. Let's go with that.
Because I get Denzel and Clooney.
Well, I was thinking Denzel.
Pitt, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, Pitt. Nah, yeah. Please. Great to see you, man.
Thank you.
And the book is called... Agile Artist, Go Get Yours. Thanks for being here, and let's do this again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All
right. Appreciate it.
We are going to the headlines here. Susan's from Palatine. Susan heard. She responded. And guess what? You've qualified for the Sox family reunion.
Hey, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I love WGN, and
we love you back.
Of course, so this will be great.
Who are you going to bring to the game?
Oh, family.
You got 19 family members to bring to the reunion if you're the winner next week?
I do have that many Sox fans, yep.
Good for you. Well, hold on. We'll get you further details. Thank you, Susan from Palatine. The news is now. Is it sponsored there?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, let's make it sponsored
by
you.
By Colin.
Oh, make it sponsored by Colin, an agile artist. Thank you, Colin. We appreciate that.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Super Joe on the mandolin. Nice work by you.
Really nice.
Very impressive. Very, very romantic, really, when you think about it.
That's Joe.
That's what I did, you know, all the entire time while Dave was in Italy.
Learn how to play the mandolin.
Yeah.
Well, your mandolin lessons have gone really well. Ashley, come in here and tell us about your ridiculous dream. Earlier this morning, I brought up this ridiculous dream that I had.
Yep.
And asked people to text in with their own text question of the day. My own crazy dream, Janet. I dreamt I was caught in a storm and rendered unconscious. These are people texting. And my dream was about protecting wild horses from wolves chasing them by kicking at the wolves.
Right.
While you're kicking Maureen.
Yeah, exactly.
Not very nice.
But she laughed super hard when she found out what the dream was, so there was a payoff.
Okay.
847. I dreamt I was caught in a storm and rendered unconscious. I woke to singing munchkins and flying monkeys. Realized it was actually the debate last night on TV. 847. Steve, the wild horses in your dream represent all the moving parts in your life that you fear losing control over, and the wolves represent all the threats to all the moving parts in your life. It's impressive that you recognize they were wild horses.
Huh? Or it could be they were horses and wolves.
That's possible. Both have certain merit. And 219, you told the story of the dreams. It's so funny how Dave was more focused on the accuracy of your dream than the weirdness.
Yeah.
You're near an accuracy guy.
Play by play.
Can't explain it.
What was your weird dream, Ashley?
Okay, so I have like a weird... sleeping thing. Like, I can remember all my dreams pretty vividly. I have weird dreams where, like, they'll start one day and then I'll sleep again.
You pick them up?
And they'll continue.
Nobody does that.
It's so weird. I don't even understand it. I don't know if I'm making it up in my head or what's going on, but...
What a cool skill to have.
I know, right? It's kind of fun. It's like my own little movie.
Right.
But, one of the dreams that I had, it was when I was a freshman in college. It was finals week, so I was stressed out. So it had to have something to do with that. But my roommate went home, so I'm alone in our dorm. And at the time, my bed was, like, half lofted where I could jump up from the floor, so it's not like a fall, like a big drop or something hard, whatever it would
sure.
be. So my dream, I'm not exactly sure what happened. I just remembered that I was like on a ledge, and like these elves were somewhere, and I was on the ledge and I was holding on, and then I don't remember what happened after that, but I woke up the next morning on the floor of our dorm with a like a scratch down the side of my body
from the elves.
Yeah, it was so weird. And what I think happened was in my dream, because I have a history of sleepwalking, but
okay.
randomly, it doesn't happen often. And what I think happened in my dream was I was sleepwalking and I got up on like our dresser that was right next to the bed, and I was leaning on it sideways, holding on. Then in my dream, it was the ledge. But I don't know how I didn't wake up from the fall.
Yeah, how did the fall? Had you been drinking?
No. I was studying and went to sleep.
Had you been drinking? Why would you ask that?
Well, because if you fall, I mean, you don't wake up.
I know.
That's true. But it was so weird. I had a huge scratch on my stomach.
I still think that was the elves, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, I guess.
You got into the wrong group of elves.
My roommate will like randomly text me when I wasn't in the room. She'd be like, all right, I'm thinking about your dream. Like, what if something was in your closet or something?
I'm sure.
I don't know.
Sure. Anybody in your room that happened to other than you?
No.
No.
No. They think I'm crazy.
And I thought my horse dream was wacky. Thank you, Ash. We come back. Dave will present the souvenirs from Italy in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's back. Back from Italy. You didn't have to bring souvenirs.
Well, you know, I mean, I missed you guys, and I think I got something for everybody.
Well, who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Mary.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
So
Mary Vanderbilt.
Because as Mary
look at
is
that big bag you got going.
Yeah,
there.
Ladies
you
first.
You have a small.
Oh,
look at
ooh.
This.
Ooh, is it peanuts?
What is it?
Oh, it's as someone it's like you know a, bag a lot of
my
what
name on it.
We had in Italy is food and wine.
Oh,
and
liquor. It's awful small.
What'd you get?
Oh, it's liquor.
Oh, it's a bottle.
Oh,
it's a wine stopper.
Cork.
Yeah. It's a wine stopper.
It's a wine stopper. What's the artwork on top of it?
Beautiful, Dave. It says Cinque Terre. Oh, no, that's French.
Cinque Terre.
That's oh, that's from the town you love.
The town. That's where it's from.
What a nice touch.
It's from the beautiful town and the mountains.
Yes.
Well, that's actually very nice.
That's
very nice.
Very nice.
I don't know how you're going to
follow. I'm telling you, they were cheap and tacky gifts.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to follow this. You want to do Steve now?
Yeah, I'm going to do Steve.
It's very heavy.
Well, I learned some Italian for you this morning. Ben Tornado means welcome back, according to Google.
Oh, grazie. Yeah.
So Ben Tornado's also a guy that used to work here.
Don't you think that'd be
and a band?
So again, a big part of it was food. Mm-hmm. And Steve,
you know
how
I love food, right?
Yes, and there are these. It's kind of like a tollway oasis. They have these. They're not truck stops, but they have these gas stations / restaurants, coffee stops, and they
not a
sell.
Food truck.
They have a lot of these.
Oh, where they just
so
sell
here
spaghetti.
You go.
Whoa.
Very nice.
Nutella, yeah. Be ready.
So you're
cookies.
Always ready.
You're always ready with.
It's cookies. Like a Nutella emergency kit.
It
yes.
is.
What's
it's an emergency
in there?
Nutella.
Chocolate?
Basically. Yeah. So it looks like almost looks like an Italian bread roll. With Nutella in the middle
it's
of it, doesn't
Nutella
it?
Yeah. in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it's in Italian. Oh, yeah, it is.
All right, let's do this.
Okay.
We'll come back. The suspense is building. We'll come back and continue with the souvenirs in just a moment. And Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. We're in the middle of the gift presentation. Did you get something for Super Joe?
I did. Super Joe?
My dude.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Pasta for
trophy.
The Italian guy.
But
it's all in Italian. I can't read it.
I can read it.
It looks really good. I figured you could. And Mike, you have to share this with everybody, but it's croissants.
Croissants.
Filled.
From
and
Italy?
There's a picture of Italy right there on the. And there's six of them, so there's enough for everybody on the show. But it's.
I'll make sure you get
Or you
them.
Can keep them all.
Dude, how did you get all the stuff back?
I smuggled it home.
No kidding.
And then I got something for Sandberg. Even you know, I forgot she's not really on the show anymore.
I'd be afraid of her too. What'd you get her?
It's
looks like my gift.
Bring the hotline.
Did you get her the wine,
no, it's
wine stuff?
It's lemon soap. Lemon soap.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's very nice.
That's very cute.
It's really
you
funny.
Know, girls they like to smell pretty and
I
stuff.
It never hurts to suck up to the
nothing
boss,
for
right?
Steve.
Right.
No. Well, no.
We've run out of time. We've run out of time for my gift.
Nothing. Okay, it's not exactly for Steve.
What does that mean?
Oh, you know what? I think I know who this is for.
John DeCoste.
Based on the size of it.
For the little bambula, or what are they calling it?
Oh, it's for Abigail.
No, this is for the new, right?
No, that's actually for Abigail.
For what does he know?
Because I wasn't sure the size of
me?
Your upcoming
I'm a petite.
Well, what they were selling
dress?
An apron. They were selling an apron with the likeness of
Mussolini?
Michelangelo's, Michelangelo's David.
Oh,
and
you
I thought
that.
Getting you that.
Yeah,
you
that's a little inappropriate.
You couldn't really wear it.
No, that wouldn't be great for a 3-year-old.
No. It's so cute. It's a little apron.
And she can do her cooking in this. Right. 3 and a half, we like to keep her near open flames.
What believe, does it say, Dave?
I was told it is... I can't wait to help mom.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh,
so it looks like a little pot. It looks like a boiling pot with tomatoes on it and then pasta off to the side of it.
That's Let's true. Just hope it doesn't say in Italian, my parents can stick it. You know? Very nice, Dave. What a classy guy.
Super cute.
I tried to find tackier stuff. I couldn't get it.
Imagine delicious, by the way.
Imagine the crap I'm going to have to bring back from Prague.
Well... Yes, you've been warned.
The pressure's on. Thank you, Dave. Very nice of you. Unnecessary, but very nice of you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
And we're glad you're back.
Thank you. I missed you guys. Really.
We missed you, Dave.
We missed you. Really?
Mark Harmon was getting on all of our nerves.
Yeah, we're so done with him.
We're tired of talking about the wedding. Tired of it.
My friend Jason Key is here. Well, she's your friend, too. Hi.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I'm here because I'm going to be filling in for Bill and Wendy with Jerry.
Yeah.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
Jerry, identify yourself.
My name is Jerry Nunn. I write a column called nunnontherun.com, and I work for Windy City Times. And
right.
I've been a writer for 15 years.
Have you guys met before this?
No. I mean, we've met. Like, we've known briefly. Of each other, but yeah. We haven't hung out together, so who knows how this is going
to
go.
Wow. The next 2 hours, hold on to something. I guess it's three. Two plus a bonus.
Right.
All right, great to see both of you. What are you doing today?
We got Taylor Dane in the studio.
Taylor Dane's here?
Yes, so she's going to be coming in later.
Oh, later, okay.
Yeah.
She and I hung out a little bit at Paisley Park back in the day, and I'm sure
wow.
she remembers it as a special evening.
We'll be sure to ask her.
Yeah. You remember Steve from Paisley Park? Oh, sure.
Prince from Paisley Park.
Yeah, it was a Prince after party.
Oh.
Wow.
Fancy.
Yeah, well, listen, Prince and I were tight.
And
same
Taylor.
Guy. What else?
So we're going to be talking about Pride in the Park, which is a big thing in Grant Park all day tomorrow. So we're going to be talking about that. I have one of my drag queen friends coming in.
So, you say one of your drag queen friends. How many do you have? You have many?
Oh, many.
Okay. The clothes bill must be incredible, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like a fun show. So stand by for that. I hope everybody has a great weekend. It is Pride weekend, and I am happy to report in 2019, more of us than ever understand it's okay to love who you love. It's okay to be who you are. So let's celebrate that together this weekend, and let's all play nice. Have a great Pride weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.